And we are live. Yay. We're streaming, and not on a Saturday evening? What's up with that? Well, this is a totally different setting. This is, well, not different setting. This is a different campaign. This is Circulus Pack Tactics. It's a work. The name is a work in progress. We might change it, but I love all the suggestions that have been given. So I might want to just circulate through them. Who knows? This campaign is still taking place in Circulus, but all of the players this time around are playing that wonderful race known as kobolds. I am your host. I will be Crash, the DM. My preferred pronouns are he and him, and I'm going to let everyone else introduce themselves.
Hello, I am Akari, Chris, however you want to talk to me. Preferred pronouns are he and him. I am playing Sox, the level one monk.
And I'm Jen, and my preferred pronouns are she and her. I'm playing Gox, which is the brother of Sox, and Gox is a level one kobold barbarian.
Hi, I'm Ellie, she, her. I'm playing Daldon, the kobold bard.
Hi, I'm Io, my pronouns are they, them, but since my character is female and uses she, her, you can use that all you want. Because character, player, pronoun, confusion. Oh, wow, I can hear myself talking.
Mute the stream.
It won't bounce back at you.
Never done anything like this before. Anyway, I am playing Zili Ikta, the kobold sorcerer.
And one of the things I like about this whole setup is kobolds are canonically gender fluid.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Wow, cool.
Oh yeah,
To the point where if there is some type of event where you have, it's not sort of even, where you might have a clan that has 20 males and 10 females, or vice versa, some of them will, over the course of a month or two, change genders to even everything out. So
we learned this the hard way in the other campaign.
Yeah,
hard way or the eyebrows hard way.
I failed many things in regards to all of this.
It's a long story that knowledge affected how a city that thought they were a utopia handled things.
It's a good explanation.
But, yes. But that is the other campaign, and everyone in that one is very far away from where you are now.
Yay.
And by the way, I'm still getting over how Ellie introduced her character, and I love that voice.
That's a great voice. it's a really great voice.
Okay, so let's introduce the setting of what's going on here. This is taking place in the future of the current campaign, the main Circulus campaign. Those adventurers have made it back to Coomridge, and they brought with them a significant number, not all of them, but a significant number of the kobolds that were in Serain the Flying City. A lot of them thought, oh, hey, a whole kobold settlement? We could join a new tribe? This sounds fantastic. So they came on in, which was great news for the Chipped Claw clan of kobolds. I keep alternating between clan and tribe. I forget which term they use, but it's, let's just say they're interchangeable in this case. It's great news for the Chipped Claw because they were down to 12 members. And now you've got this influx of almost 50 additional members, of which all of you are in that group of 50 that came in.
Woo!
Yes. So it upset the power structure a little bit. The current leader is still a Chipped Claw. They were slightly older than everyone else, so they're in charge. There was some thought of maybe making Meepo be the one that's in charge, but she's only 5, so she's not old enough for it yet, even though she's sort of a cultural hero to them. After all, she did buy everyone very nifty hats.
Hats are excellent.
Yes. For those of you who are new to this or haven't listened to the other session, the hats are... Now, imagine the stereotypical hat that someone's great-grandmother might wear to church. Now, up the tackiness of that by a factor of 10.
Tenfold.
And lower the cost of production of said hat by a factor of 100. That is the hat that you were given. Now, you can choose what kind of flair it is if you want to. You could say what color it is, what accoutrements are attached to it, what particular kinds of flowers, or if it's not actually a flower, maybe someone took one of those scrubby things that you get for if you're in the shower and using a body wash, and just sort of hot glued that on, thinking it looked kind of like a flower, so that's what we're doing. That's up to you. The flavor for you, that's fine. Now, the chipped claw are in a very interesting, almost un-kobold-like situation. They were rescued. They were a much larger clan, and they were down to 20 when the party first in the other session first encountered them. And some things happened. Some plot was furthered, and Meepo tagged along from that clan, so then they were down to 19. Then some things happened off camera, and they were brought down to 12. But the Lord of Coomridge, which is the kingdom that you find yourselves in now, thought kobolds were kind of interesting, and the dwarves, who tend to have mining rights for the entire continent of Circulus, weren't so fond of the idea of kobolds running around, so they were relocated. And Chipped Claw were okay with this because, oh, being relocated to some place where we're not going to have gibbering mouthers eat us on a regular basis? Let's think about this. Yes. Yes, this is a plan. This is a good plan. And so their current home is under an under-construction temple to Bahamut, the god of the Dragonborn and all good dragons, but dragons theoretically don't exist in this world. And that sniff you just heard was from Chris because he knows that's a bold-faced lie. The rest of the citizens of Circulus didn't know that at the time.
Worst person.
I revealed to them that dragons did exist in this world by throwing an ancient green at them. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. That's water under the bridge that was also destroyed with repeated explosions.
So my sorcerer bloodline isn't going to be a problem, right?
Not at all.
No.
Meepo's a sorcerer in the other campaign, so
dragons are a thing. Crash is a liar.
Yeah. Well, the kobolds... Sorry?
Because I'm a dragon-blooded sorcerer.
Oh, that's fine. So is Meepo.
That's totally that fine. Yeah, Meepo is okay. Too. And I play Meepo, if anybody doesn't know who's listening to this. I play Meepo in the other campaign. So, yeah, totally be a sorcerer. Absolutely okay.
And at this point, Meepo was the only sorcerer among the Chipclaw. There was an older sorcerer that sort of got torn to pieces off camera. That was not a good event. So the clan as a whole was very happy to have... Is it pronounced Zeely?
Zeely, yes.
Yes. They were very happy to have Zeely show up because Meepo was their sorcerer, but she went off on an adventure. So they had no sorcerer. But now you're here, so they're happy.
Excellent!
Yes. And the way things are, the people who run the temple above you, you're helping them build the temple, you're excavating stone, giving to them, while at the same time, you're making your home larger. So it works out pretty well. And they also protect you. They sort of keep you, your existence on the down low because there's some people in the area who are not so fond of kobolds. Most of the citizenry in Coomridge don't even know kobolds exist. I mean, they saw Meepo walking around and they assumed she was a baby dragonborn. And they're like, because they'd never seen dragonborn before either. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, I guess when they're babies, they have tails.
Plus, we were telling people that she was a baby dragonborn.
Yeah, right.
You're actually saying it. They assumed that Meepo was the daughter of the Dragonborn Paladin, who was a golden Dragonborn, so that's really mm-hmm. weird.
Because she's green, so...
Yeah, but humans were just looking at this and shrugging, like, okay, well, I don't know. You can't really run around surface side and do whatever you want. There were some kobolds, especially from the city of Serain, that came in that thought it might be a good idea. You were informed in very certain terms that running amok and just stealing food would be a situation where there are repercussions for said actions.
If you recall.
And it was implied that they had methods of catching. This was after some people tried it and were caught. Let's put it this way. It was Lord Idris who said it. Lord Idris,
Which
by the way.
One?
The younger.
Okay.
Who is a very powerful wizard point. In his own right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, he led the he led the kingdom in a fight against an undead army and an ancient green dragon. So, you know, he's no one to sneeze at. And you can't dig down too far. You cannot delve too deep, let's put it that way, because the dwarves do still have mining rights. So you can dig horizontally, but not so much vertically. And the dwarves are like, well, if they just dig horizontally, you're basically in an elevated valley. You're in a mountain range here, so you're self-contained. We're okay with this. We're cool with this. And this has all worked out pretty well for you, except most of your food stores you were growing underground, a lot of mushrooms and some other things, but mostly mushrooms. And it has come to your attention, and there's this huge gathering of kobolds in the main room that you have cleared out. And the kobold leader is, he's a kobold by the name of Tess, who he's very proud of himself. He calls himself a sorcerer. Zili, you don't think Tess is a sorcerer. You've seen him try to use magic. It's the equivalent. He tried using magic missile. Now imagine if you will, a magic missile that is about an inch long and shaped like a dart, like you throw at a dartboard, and stings but does not actually do any damage.
Wow.
That is the best he can do. But until you showed up, no one else could do better except for Meepo. So he's very proud of himself, and he refers to himself as a sorcerer. He started wearing robes. and he struts around a lot. But he's also the oldest, so people have to listen to him, unfortunately. But he informs everyone that something's gone through and eaten more or less everything that was in the main chamber where you were growing your food for the winter, which is starting outside. You've already had the first frost of winter. As you are no doubt aware, kobolds are cold-blooded, so going out and searching for food isn't exactly an option right now anyway, unless you really bundle up. No one's invented those little pads that you expose to air and you shake them a little bit and then they're hand warmers. You're waiting for someone to invent those, but it might be a few thousand years. The gnomes are working on it, but there have been a few explosions. So, and one of the other kobolds asked, what about the kobolds who were guarding that room? Because you did have guards set up there. That was your food for the winter. And Tess reveals 2 feet and an arm, and none of them match.
Oh, no.
So
they ate everything. Well, almost everything. Hate to say it, but we're going to need to send some scouting parties to find more food.
Of course! We'll find the food. We will find whatever else those things are eating, and then we will take it from them.
And if you could stop the things that are eating food, that would be good too.
Yeah, all right. Maybe they're edible.
Ooh, that would be great. No talking meat, though.
No talking meat. Okay.
What about meat that used to talk?
None of that either.
Nah.
Well, if it's eating us, shouldn't it be fair game?
She has a point.
At this point, most of the kobolds in this room start breaking into small groups to discuss the merits of whether or not they should be eating talking meat.
At what point
you determine that it's no longer talking and therefore it's safe? There are some kobolds that are wondering, well, what if it's sleeping? It's not currently talking, but what if it talks in its sleep? Oh, you're right. So I have regrets about how you already derailed this. I have some regrets. Tess bangs a boot against a table to call to order. None of you knows where Tess got the boot because none of you are currently wearing boots. But
So we need volunteers.
Zili puts a hand up immediately.
We got one.
I go. I'm good at killing stuff.
I see my brother put his hand up, face palm, and raise mine.
My brother go too. This is good.
Well done, we'll find some food.
Wonderful. So we got 1, 2, 3, 5. We have 5 volunteers. Wonderful.
Some people face palm, like... I face palm again.
Where's the other one?
What? No, 1, 2, 3, 5.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, it's four.
Doesn't four come after five? It's one, two, three,
other
five,
way around.
Four, eight.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Aldon will count as two.
All right, that works.
And the rest of the kobolds cheer because they have enough volunteers that they don't have to get picked. And you do know where the main exit to your tunnels is, obviously, because you've been living here for a little while. There is a stairway that leads up to just outside the temple that's being built above you. And to the left and right of that stairwell, there are doors that are kept closed and locked for the most part. But anyone on this side of it can open it. It's someone on the other side would have to knock to be let in. So your first question is, you go left or right? Oh, I should specify. If you go to the right, you will get to the area where your food was being grown. If you go left, you will go into a different area.
The area where we don't know what's there, or?
That particular area, some kobolds explored it a little bit, but they didn't find anything they thought was particularly useful, so they just closed the door and said, we'll deal with that later.
Let's go where we know the food was and investigate, see if we can figure out who's been taking the food.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. So you go through this doorway, and the passageway slopes down a little bit. The Chipclaw figured, hey, if it's a natural cave formation that goes down, we're not really digging down, therefore it's okay. I mean, the doors couldn't be mad about that, right? It was already there. It was like that when we got it. So, what's this? I don't know if I want to read this note that Chris just posted.
Okay.
Kobold leader, Tess, he's an idiot. Yeah?
You know, if we do end up having to go outside, I'm
you'll
pretty sure Pres...
Sorry.
Actually, I was wondering, Prestidigitation lets you warm stuff into a cantrip.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but that would be your action for that turn, so you would spend your entire time...
Nope, it lasts an hour. It lasts an hour.
That can work.
And it's not concentration, so she could put it up on multiple people.
I think that's right.
There is some doubt about that from some of the kobolds. Only because of how cold they've been told it gets in Coombridge. This is a kingdom that's nestled in a valley, but the valley is elevated pretty high so far as sea level is concerned. It's in the mountains.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
And you're looking at snowfall where one round of snowfall is going to be 6 feet.
Oh, that's not going to work.
Oh, yeah, I just realized Meeple never actually experienced winter in Coombridge.
No.
She's never. None of these kobolds have experienced winter. They've been told, oh, yeah, it gets cold. Well, it can't be that bad. You see how high you built the temple? Yeah. You won't see it. Oh.
And then they're all horrified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kobolds prefer warmer climates.
Yeah.
For the most part. Okay. So you go down this sort of natural incline, and this particular... it goes into a bit of a room where if you keep going straight, you hear the sound of running water. That's where most of the Chipclaw go to get water for whatever reason they would need water. But if you go to the left, you're going to go into the room that you've been growing mushrooms in.
Mushrooms.
That's what the kobolds are growing.
Yeah, let's have a look at the mushrooms.
Let's find mushrooms.
See what's been taken.
Okay. So you go in there, and none of you has... Actually, no, I can't say that because I don't know all of your backstories. You're not from Circulus. But if any of you has ever seen a tornado aftermath, you're thinking that this is a similar situation. There are bits of mushroom around. There's some smaller ones that look like they sort of escaped, and you might be able to grow them to be a bit larger. This is not the end of the world. Matter of fact... there might be enough left over that if it was just the Chipped Claw that were here before, the 12 remaining, this might be enough to last them through some of the winter. But with your inflated numbers, this is not. Some of the mushrooms have been quite large, but they've been knocked over and smashed. And there's some spots where it's more along the lines of the lawyer from the first Jurassic Park movie, where one of the characters says, "I think I found the lawyer," and the other one's like, "I think I found him too," and they're in two totally different parts of the area.
Mm-hmm.
You're finding bits and pieces of kobold.
Huh. But there's enough mushrooms left, so whatever ate this probably is eat mostly meat, or eat meat more, better.
Probably.
I start gathering bits of mushrooms.
Are there any footprints? I'm assuming like this is a dirt floor.
It's a cave floor. Okay. And there is a lot of dirt and fertilizer in here. The cave that you're in is a natural formation that the kobold said, "Hey, there's some mushrooms growing in here. Let's encourage that." So I would say give me a survival check.
No, really, Dokkali Jim. Four dice don't count.
Four dice don't count.
That's a 16.
A 16 is sufficient. So you do find a lot of footprints of kobold type. You also find smears where in some cases they've been wiped clean, in other places they haven't been, but there's some smears that you don't know if it was coming from one direction or the other, but something either entered or left from the north. You came in from the east. Saying left and right is not going to work if you're turning yourselves around much. So you came in from the east. To the north and the south, these smears either came from one direction and went the other, or vice versa.
Okay.
Oh, what was that you yelled out, Zeely?
I just went, well. So, north?
Seems like it.
Hmm? Okay. I got some mushrooms. They're little.
We'll keep them for later.
Okay.
Delta and the ghouls. Let's go north.
Okay. You go north, and the tunnel gets a little small in some places, but you're kobolds, so you barely notice. What's everyone's passive perception?
12. Let's see. Plus
10.
Oh, wait, no, that's not it.
This is where everyone finds out where D&D Beyond puts passive perception.
11.
I can't remember.
It's in abilities, saves, and senses.
Okay.
Underneath your saving throws.
On the left, underneath saving throws, yes.
Underneath saving throws. Wow. I thought I knew this better. Okay, passive wisdom insight? Is that, no, perception?
Nope. Perception.
Okay, it says 12.
Okay. So as you are going down this particular... I put my map in another window... You're going down this particular corridor that looks like it might have been carved out through water flowing at some point before the water table lowered. Maybe enough farmers nearby planted wells and reduced the water table and started causing global warming on a grand scale. But never mind about that. You'd wish there was global warming. You don't like the idea of winter's coming. I can't believe I said winter's coming.
You're the worst.
I'm bad and I should feel bad. Anyone with a passive perception of 10 or more notices that on the eastern side of this particular corridor, there appears to be some rocks that are stacked up, but you're pretty sure that there's something behind those rocks, like the rocks are stacked up to conceal another opening.
Oh, look! There's something behind there!
Gax, you want to move that?
Okay. And I go over and try to, like, pick up the rocks and move them out of the way as a couple of feet over and repeat as needed.
Okay, so for that, I'm going to ask you to give me a strength athletics check.
Okay. I've rolled a 1. He's tired today.
So how do you fail at moving the rocks? I'm going to let you let us know how you did this.
So I go over to the rocks. And then I bend down and I try to pick up the bottom one. And it's just not working because they're all on top of it.
And that makes sense, though, because if you move the bottom one, all the others will fall down.
Right, you know. So, or you just lift them all up at once and you have one trip, you know, of course.
Yeah, if you were lazy, you'd pick the top ones up first because then you got to pick up each rock individually. This
right,
is a much smoother
yeah.
transition. The only problem is all those rocks on top are making it way too heavy.
Right, right. So that's what I did.
Okay, stand back!
Oh, God, okay.
Uh-oh. Okay. I go stand by my brother.
All right, so Zaylee raises up a hand and she casts Firebolt at the rocks.
Ooh. All right. You have warmer rocks.
Hmm.
It was spectacular. It looked pretty cool. A bunch of mice that have been
solid.
Wandering around just sort of lift up little signs with numbers on them.
Are all
there's a 9, there's a 9.5, there's a 10. There's one little rat that looks like it's dressed like a Russian that holds up a 5.3.
Are all the rocks warm now? Like warm, really, really warm that'll burn me when I try and move them?
Where it hit, those rocks got red hot. And they're starting to cool, but it didn't warm all of the rocks for this particular opening. This opening is large enough that one, a human would be able to walk through this if you moved the rocks.
Okay, I would like to move some of the top rocks so we can maybe try and climb through.
Okay, give me a strength athletics check.
Okay.
I'm having kobolds do strength checks.
Yeah.
15 minus 1, 14?
Oh, no.
A 14 will do it. These weren't stacked up with a lot of care.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I was totally prepared for Gox to just move everything away in one fell swoop.
Well, he tried.
Yeah.
That natural one, yo.
So you start moving the rocks out, and you sort of move the rocks around the superheated ones as they're cooling. You're able to knock those down. You're having a pretty good go of it. And then some of the rocks move without you moving them.
Uh-oh.
And two hands poke out.
But what?
What kind of hands?
They look like they should belong to a human.
Oh.
And a human does, in fact, walk right through the rocks. You moved enough that they were able to come the rest of the way through. If you'd left the rocks undisturbed, there would be too much for them to come through. But they just come right on through. And everyone roll for initiative.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh,
I've rolled a 5, I think.
That's a waste of a natural 20.
It's a 6. I rolled a 6.
Let's 11.
Aldolan rolls a 4.
I rolled 24. It was a natural 20, and that was a big waste.
Wow.
Oh, wow, you got healer's initiative. Daldane.
So that explains it.
Oh, wait. I have a +2 on initiative, so I have a 5 +2. I don't think it changes much.
It doesn't change much in your order.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was, Chris, what's your bonus?
4.
Okay. So you got a 24.
Yep.
I think it might be safe to say that you are going to go first.
That is the worst natural 20 I've ever rolled.
I'm getting used to character names. I try to refer to people by their character names when I'm playing, but I know your chosen names much better than I know your character names at this point. And Zeely got a 4, you said?
No, 11.
11. No,
Daldan got the 4.
There we go. Daldan got the 4. And I should probably roll for this thing.
Yeah.
Oh. That's interesting.
That's never good.
What do you mean?
Because we've played enough D&D with you to know that's never good.
Interesting can be good.
Well, maybe.
Not when the GM says it.
Generally, yes. I agree.
Oh, you should only be worried when I smile.
We can't see that.
We can't see that.
Oh, Logan got to see it 2 weeks ago when I was playing it there.
Oh,
house.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was after a little the creeped game out. Was over, and I just pointed something out, and then I smiled. And he was like, wait, what? 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 All right, so this human who looks like he's seen a lot better days, his clothing, he's dressed like a farmer. His clothing is torn and tattered in a few places. He looks very pale.
We're going to kill a random farmer.
Bursts through and looks at all of you. And I'm going to say because it was Sox that was closest, because Sox was the one moving the rocks. He sort of looks over at you and moans. Fox, what would you like to do? You're first up in initiative.
Oh, I know what this is. Okay. I would like to go do an attack with my short sword.
Okay.
Okay. And that's it's a natural one.
Oh, no.
So I'm going to ask you what happens.
I swing, slip a little, fumbled sword drops.
Okay. There's a lot of pebbles and stuff on the floor. You put a lot of them there. So it's understandable that the ground is not as ideal for keeping your traction.
And then I'm going to realize how stupid that was and go for an unarmed strike as a bonus action.
Okay.
That's better. Natural 18 plus 6.
That's a hit.
That is 8 points of damage.
All right.
Yes, it's a d4 plus 4.
Okay, so I need to do something. Oh, fantastic. So you are a kobold. You're kind of low to the ground. So your unarmed strike, you went right for the kneecap, because that makes sense. And this blow took this thing's leg off.
Whoa.
Wow.
It's now standing on one leg.
Woo! Go Sox!
Okay. So it's this thing's turn. The leg starts, but now I'm going to assume that Zeely cried out in character.
Yeah.
The leg starts hopping towards Zeely.
Ooh, that's not good.
I get an attack of opportunity?
You're all within 5 feet, so it's not really moving out of your range.
No.
And also, you have the rest of this thing. It's going to make a few strikes at you. What's your AC?
Who?
It's going after Sox.
16.
Okay, so a 16 does hit. That is going to be... Let me take a look at this. I have a lot of tabs open. Ouch. Okay, you take 4 points of damage. It slashes at you with a claw.
Ow.
It also uses another claw to try to swipe at, in this case, I think I'm going to say Zeely. Does a 13 hit you?
Apparently not. It seems like I have AC 14.
Nice.
Yeah, kobolds have natural armor. They're scaly.
Yeah.
Okay, so it takes a swipe at you, and it sort of glances off of you a little bit. You might have to do some polishing later, but otherwise you're okay. And in the process of trying to swipe at two different kobolds, who are kind of low to the ground, and it only has one leg to stand on, it sort of flops a little bit, starts to sink over, and tries to take a bite at Gox.
Oh, no.
Does a 10 hit you?
I have armor class 14.
So, no, and I'm going to RP this as it tries to take a bite at you, but leaning forward on one leg is not the most coordinated thing for a zombie. So, it is now prone.
Okay.
And taking a wonderful bite out of the ground. Doesn't work so well for it. All right, next up is going to be Zeely. How would you like to react to what's going on right now?
Okay, so Zeely sort of looks around at this thing, scrambles backwards a little bit, and... No! Go away, you terrible soft thing! And she casts Firebolt at it.
All right.
Which is... Let's see... Clear... And do I have advantage on that since we're all within 5 feet?
I would say you have advantage because it's prone.
Well, ranged attacks have disadvantage when prone.
Oh.
Oh.
Pack Tactics neutralizes that and just makes it a normal roll.
Yeah.
Okay. 21!
You just barely hit it. You sort of like glance at... No, that's a very strong hit. You hit it twice. What's your damage?
1d10. So I hit it twat.
I'm joking because its armor class is 8.
Okay, yeah, that makes more sense. Oh, wow, I only did 1 damage.
Okay, it is now slightly on fire.
I forgot about pack tactics when I rolled my natural 1.
Oh, yeah.
It's the name of the show right now.
I remember for future, okay? God.
Oh, I love this game so much. Okay, so we have a one-legged zombie that is currently on fire, just a little bit, and currently prone until its next turn when it can try to get up again. Gox, what would you like to do?
Okay, well, this thing came after my brother, so I would like to rage. I'm new with Barbarian. Okay, so I have a battle axe that I'd like to use on him. And it's within 5 foot range, I think we are.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what I roll. Okay, so I don't know what I
kind of gathered around.
So roll a d20 twice and take the biggest number.
Okay. Well, that's a one.
roll again.
And that is an 18.
You hit.
Okay, and I believe you're adding like 5.
I don't know.
If only the DM had access to your character sheet.
Yeah, if only.
I also have her sheet up just to help her out.
Yeah, because this is all new.
Battle axe plus 3, but you're
plus
raging.
+3.
So that's, yeah.
And then raging does something.
You get 2 extra damage when you hit.
Okay.
At this point, you're rolling for damage because you rolled high enough to hit. It has an AC of 8.
Okay. Okay, so it's 1d8 plus... 1. Do I have a 1d8? Uh-oh. I don't think I do. No, that's a 10. I gotta get one of those. Okay, so how do I this?
Roll a 10, because
roll 10? Oh, okay.
If you're using it two-handed, it's 1d10.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It is a versatile weapon.
Yes, it is.
Nice. Okay. That just slammed into something. Let me do that again. That slammed into something.
And I really can't see Gox using the battle axe in this situation.
No.
Yeah,
although
I rolled the wrong dice.
Although Gox is, I believe you said, dumb as a bag of rocks.
Dumb as a box of rocks, yes. Okay, so an 8.
No, so
this is a 10. So I rolled a d10.
Yep, that's
and
fine.
It got a 9.
Eight, and you have a plus
1. Got a
1
9,
damage.
So plus 1. Yes,
it got
plus
a 9.
The 2 for the rage is 12.
Okay.
You do significant damage to this thing.
Yay!
Which means I get to roll this. I get to roll something because of the damage you did. You chop off an arm.
All right.
The arm has not stopped moving, but it is no longer a part of the body. All right. And last but certainly not least for this particular round of initiative, we have Daldane.
Who is the zombie going after at this point?
It has tried to pretty much hit most of the party. You're the only one that has tried to attack.
All right, so Daldane will cast Cure Wounds on Socks, if I can get to him.
Yeah, he's close enough.
Daldane will Luke Socks the Kobold Monk.
We have a bard that sings their spells.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love this game so much.
My bard doesn't sing, he does limericks that I'm not allowed to do on stream.
And
yeah,
heals,
my rule is the stream has to be PG.
3 plus 2 is 5.
Perfect. Thank you, dear.
All right. So that ends that round, and now we're back.
Oh, I get a bonus action.
Oh.
Oh.
Bonus action.
What do you do?
And I inspire Gox the Barbarian.
Oh, I just realized we're the Vex and Vax. We're the worst people.
Okay, I get it.
Not so everything Gox, is Critical Role.
Gox gets an inspiration die.
Okay, and at your level, what die is that?
I don't know. I can't see. it doesn't actually tell me.
If you go to Features and Traits, Class Features, it should tell you. You should have a D4 next to it, I believe.
Oh, D6.
Oh, D6. Okay. I'll move that one over here so I remember which dice it is.
I only know that because I had trouble finding it myself.
You can add it after seeing the roll, but before knowing the outcome. Any one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw.
Okay.
And because we do have people in this session that aren't used to my house rules, I also do the same thing in regards to, like, let's say you have inspiration, which, by the way, right now, Daldane, because I just realized that you sing your things when you're a bard, you have an inspiration. Go ahead and give yourself an inspiration point by clicking on that wonderful little box there.
Okay.
Because that's awesome. You can choose to use that inspiration point after you've rolled once. So you don't have to say in advance, I'm going to roll with inspiration.
Cool.
Okay. Sox, you're up.
He's still on the ground, yeah?
Yep. He goes after you.
Okay. Right. I would like to pick up my short sword and go for a strike on him.
All right.
And actually get 2d20s this time, because advantage. Oh, yeah, natural 19.
Okay.
What's my short sword? That's a d6. That's a 1, so that's 5 points of slashing damage. Or no, piercing damage, sorry.
Okay. Well, it is currently burning, and you didn't want to have to spend a lot of time cleaning your sword afterwards. So, you know. Fire back.
And it's still squirming.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to, for my bonus unarmed strike, I'm just going to kind of take the heel of my foot and just going to jam it into his face.
Okay.
That's a 10 plus 4, 14. Math hurts.
That's a hit.
Oop, another 8 points. I love this little d4. It's doing good for me tonight.
Okay, so I get to roll this again.
Better than decent.
So, here's what's going to happen. You kick it in the head with your boot, and the head goes flying and bounces off a wall.
Woo!
That was fun.
Good job, brother.
Is it still right. squirming?
So, it's now the zombie's turn.
Still squirming.
Yeah.
The arm is going to make an attack against Duldane. That's a 5.
Oh, now. Armor class 13.
Yeah. It does have a plus, but the plus doesn't bring it up to 13. So the severed arm tries to make a swing for you. You just sort of casually like, step out of its way or prance or however you choose to flavor it. The body, the torso pushes itself sort of into a half-sitting position and takes a swing at socks. And I'm going to say that's a disadvantage because there's no head. So it can't
sound reasoning. Yeah.
And my lowest roll was a 16.
That hits. That's Macy.
Yeah. So that is going to be. Ouch. That's 6 points of damage.
Oh, jeez. Thank God you healed me. I would have been out.
We would have had our first death save. And the head can't really do much. It has a movement speed of 0, but the mouth is opening and closing like it's trying to bite something, but it's doing a very bad job of it. And the leg sort of hops. It's hopping in a little circle. It doesn't know what to do. Next up is going to be Zeely.
All right. So, all these limbs and stuff, they're all within a 15-foot cone, right?
Yes, as are all of you.
Ooh. Could I get out in front of the others?
You could angle yourself. I'm going to say you could angle yourself so that you could hit the torso without hitting your friends. But if you want to hit all the little parts, you're going to have to hit some of your friends too.
We're not really your friends. You just met us.
Well, this is also true.
Canonically,
kobolds aren't supposed to have a lot of like long-lasting relationships with other kobolds. They're just like, oh yeah, I know that guy. Of course, you're individual, so you get to do what you want.
It would be bad for the clan if I burned all the rest of the scouting party.
And there's a pretty good chance you would kill Sox outright.
Yep.
Fine. No cones. Firebolt! And I firebolt whatever limb looks most limb-y. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that would probably be the torso because it still has an arm and a leg attached to it.
Okay. I fire it at the torso.
All right. Give me an attack roll. And
16.
Pack Tactics goes for ranged attacks too, right?
It just says attack roll, so.
Yes, but ranged attacks have disadvantage on prone things, so it would.
It's not prone anymore. It's sitting up.
There you go then.
So
20 then.
16 hits, but roll again because you might get a 20.
20, but not natural.
So close. Okay.
So close.
One of the names that I was thinking of using for this particular game was Crits and Kobolds. So it was so close. All right, well, roll some damage for me.
8 damage.
All right. Imagine if you
burn soft thing.
How do you want to do this?
I took it out.
You have done lethal damage.
All right, so Zayle is sort of, well, screeching like the little pyromaniac she is, about along the lines of what I've been screeching, and she raises her hands up and she throws a blast of fire at the torso and sort of sears it right through. Goes up like a light.
Okay. So I'm going to add to this flavor with a little bit of yes and. The firebolt hits this thing in the center of the chest. And there is now a comically circular hole in the middle of the chest through which you can peer. And you see Gox on the other side of this hole. And Gox is sort of looking through it at you.
Like turning my head sideways like, huh?
Now, the firebolt didn't go clean through and then hit something on the other side, which is good for Gox. Instead, like you said, it sears it. This whole thing is, imagine if you will, a human torch. And it starts to crumble, and parts of it fall off. One arm, its remaining arm falls off and knocks the leg over, and the leg starts catching on fire, and the torso falls backwards, lands on the head, and that picks up too. You didn't think humans were that flammable, but apparently they are these days. Who knows? Probably shoddy construction. but this thing is, it's flambé. It is blackened zombie.
Ha ha ha!
So how much were we informed of the zombies when we arrived?
That is a very good question. I have no idea. How about you give me a history check?
Oh, God. Okay.
Are the head and the limbs still going?
No, everything at this point is on fire.
Oh, okay.
Natural 18, so 19 total.
Okay. So you vaguely remember something about how before the Chipped Claw got here, there was a bit of a zombie problem, where there was actually an army of zombies that wiped out a significant number of the population, which is why the land that you're currently inhabiting is not occupied other than a temple that's currently being built. It was farmland before then, but those farmers are long dead. But your understanding is that problem was solved, except for every now and then they find a few more zombies in the swamp. Apparently, not all the zombies are still hanging out in the swamp. You have no idea how long this one was here, but possibly since before that whole thing went down.
Okay.
So we have been playing for just about an hour. Anyone need to take a break?
Nope, I'm good.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I could use about 60 seconds.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to hit some buttons and we'll be back in a little bit.
You are listening to Words of Jen, where I read to you one piece of my writing in each and every episode. Bookofjen.net.
Tell me if I'm getting too high-pitched, by the way.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, you're fine.
You're fine.
Okay, good.
There is no such thing as too high-pitched.
No, you're playing a kobold. It's totally fine.
Well there is such a thing. Let's put it this way. I did go to the dentist this morning, so if any of my fillings pop out, then you may have hit a certain level. If Ellie, where she is right now, suddenly hears her dogs whining in the background, you may have hit too high a pitch. But below that, you're probably okay.
Yeah.
I teach kindergartners as one of the age groups I teach. So if I can handle them out at recess right on the other side of the window of my classroom, where they give that scream, where you seriously stop and think, is that an I'm having fun scream, or is that an I'm being killed by an axe murderer scream? Like, if I can handle that, you're fine.
Yeah, I just have sensory sensitivities, so I try to be respectful of other people's ears as well.
That's really nice of you.
We are who we are. You're good.
Okay.
All right. So, where we were just a few minutes ago is you uncovered a bit of a hidden room that just happened to have a zombie in it. And I, as I recall now, the way we flavored the zombie's demise, The leg is actually still technically hopping in a circle. Everything else is on fire and dead again, but the leg is still moving. But it's a leg. It sort of bumps into you a little bit, but can't do anything else.
Baladun will just put this over with the rest of the zombie.
Okay, and because the rest of the zombie is on fire, the leg also starts to burn.
Problem solved.
Escaping gases from this thing, that sizzle, sort of sound a little bit like, what a world, what a world. You don't know what that's from, but... What would you like to do now?
I start looking for food again.
I want to sit down for a second.
I don't think we can eat this.
That hurt?
It doesn't look tasty.
Aldon
wants to know what else was in the chamber.
Yeah!
Okay.
Maybe it was hiding food in there.
You guys? Okay. I start walking towards wherever you pointed.
So you guys look, I'm just going to sit down and, wrap my wounds.
Take a short rest or something.
Yep. Okay. Can I do that?
I'll take a short rest.
If I find food, I'll bring it back for you, brother. You'll be fine.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to say that the time it takes for you to clear out the rest of the rubble in this sort of alcove area is about 15 or so minutes, so it's a short rest.
Okay.
So Socks can totally burn a hit die to get his hit points back up there a little bit. And what you
I
find
feel like it's better than getting a spell.
Yeah. So what you find as you clear out more of the rubble is you do find what looks like a belt pouch that may have at one point been part of the outfit of this particular ex-farmer, now ex-zombie. But it came off at some point when it was sort of like sealed away after being promised a bottle of wine. I'm sorry, that might be...
For the love of God, Montresor!
I'm a bad person, I should feel bad, but I don't feel bad. Okay, but you do find a belt pouch. It doesn't look like it's got food in it. It's just got a few gold coins, like maybe 3 gold coins in it. And a whistle.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's not food.
The whistle does not look edible.
Take those. They're useful.
Okay.
Is that intelligible, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll then take those. They look useful.
All right.
Do we find anything else?
No, that's the only thing you find that isn't just more rubble. Or a little bit of zombie that's all rotted and flaked off.
Mm. No food here. Well, maybe little mushrooms.
No, there's no mushrooms in here either.
Oh.
Well, time to knock down the next wall.
Okay, which one?
All right, let's go.
All right, well, you were heading north. This was sort of a side alcove, but the hallway continues to go north and sort of bend around so that you're eventually going east. Where unless you decide to start knocking down walls, you have to go east now.
All right, east!
I was ready for you to say we're going to knock down walls, but that's okay. I was prepared for that, too.
I don't think we can knock down giant stone walls.
She needs a long rest for that,
brother.
I looked at your character sheet. You can.
Oh, Mold Earth works on stone.
I read the description for that because I was curious about it also. Yes, you can... move a 5-foot cube of dirt or stone that you can see within range of the spell. So if you wanted to just tunnel your way anywhere you wanted to go.
It just said loose earth on this. It just said loose earth, so I figured that part didn't work on stone.
Where does it say loose earth?
It says if you target an area of loose earth, you can instantaneously excavate it, move it along the ground, and deposit it up to 5 feet away.
Okay.
Oh.
So neither of us read the entire spell description. I'm okay with this. but your particular... I'm Mold Earth again. If you target Loose Earth, you can do that. You can also bend it into various shapes or change its colors. If you target dirt or stone on the ground, you can turn it into difficult terrain, which is very fun at parties. Since the very first paragraph says you can move dirt or stone, if you really wanted to excavate a bit of tunnel, like you could have used that to clear off all the stones at once if you wanted to free them away.
I thought that wouldn't work because I thought that part, that version only worked on loose earth. So my confusion.
Yeah, I can see how a DM might rule that you can't. So I'm not going to say, yeah, definitely you can in all situations. But I, as a DM, am ruling that you can.
Awesome. But let's not start tunneling through random things, because that's probably not going to find food. It'll probably just find more wall.
I don't see anything that could possibly go wrong with you making random tunnels. All right, well, this passageway you're going down that has now turned east starts to work its way up some more again. You would guess that maybe you're around the same level that your homes are currently dug out at. So you went down and then you came back up again. Sort of like, you know, if you're skateboarding on a ramp or something, but never mind about that. And you enter into a larger chamber. You're entering it from the west. And there is an underground river in here. It's very humid and damp, and it's a little chilly, but not so much that you're like, okay, we're done for now. It's more like the lines of, maybe don't take the short rest here type of situation. But you do see an underground river flowing, and there is a spot further into the chamber where there are some stalactites and stalagmites in here, but there's two really big ones that sort of joined together almost right in the middle of this chamber.
Ooh.
I go over to that one and look at it sideways.
Alden will test the room's acoustics.
Ooh, nice.
Sounds person. Good.
You hear,
You genuinely might be my favorite person.
So there's a river? Am I understanding that right?
Yeah, there's an underground river that it is actually between you and this pillar that used to be a stalactite and a stalagmite. But it's okay. Not that long. It's not that deep. You could probably wade through it. You would be a little chilly afterwards, but you could do that. It doesn't look like the current is... Sorry?
Go ahead.
I cast Mold Earth to make a little bridge-y thing.
Fantastic. Just sort of... This small river now has a bridge.
Okay. You are very useful.
Thank you!
Is there... Like, if we could survive the river, could we go... Could we fit north or south? Like, say we got in the river and started swimming. Is there an opening big enough for us to get through?
Possibly. You'd have to go to the north or south to see where it enters or leaves the cavern.
Oh, okay.
I want to see if there's fish in the river. Here. Sorry. Oh.
That's a very good question.
Mm-hmm. I want to know if there's fish in the river.
I would say give me... In this case, I'm going to say give me a nature check.
Nature check. Okay. That ran into something.
I need more room. Based on it.
Probably. Okay, so I have rolled an 11, and wisdom is minus 2, I think.
Your is nature it? Is minus 2.
Yeah. You is it? Yeah, I think you're right.
You thought you saw a fish, but instead you found what looks like a shiny rock.
Hmm.
Not shiny as in it's made of anything valuable. It's just...
No, it's just shiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. How big is it?
It's about small fish sized.
Small fish size. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to keep the rock. Stick it in my bag.
Okay.
Use it as a baseball later, maybe.
It's aggressive.
I can see like the clerics that are in charge of the Temple of Bahamut just like storming out the front door, shaking their fist, and Gox and Sox are there holding a baseball bat, and they sort of just like wince a little bit and run away.
Well, Gox has a club, so throw a rock, swing, you know. Need some room for that.
I'm gonna be the pitcher there. I'm gonna pitch that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And we'll let other people decide whether or not the pitch was off or the strike was off. It could be either.
Okay. So no fish here, just rock.
Well, that's what I think. You got with a 9.
That's what I think.
And the rock doesn't look very tasty.
No.
Mm. It doesn't even taste like fish.
Rock's not food.
So let's find out what this pillar is.
Okay. Give me... I'm going to say for a kobold in the situation, I'm going to say give me a survival check at advantage. Because you're used to underground environments, so.
Sorry, hang on a sec. All right, well, despite what I thought I remembered spending, my survival is plus zero.
Oh, I actually have a plus three.
Well, you still get to roll survival at advantage in either case. Any of you that wanted to would be able to roll survival at advantage because this is about being underground and natural rock
form. Okay.
I got 15 on both dice.
That works.
I got a 19 total.
I have rolled 15, and it was what, survival?
Yeah, I think that's
okay. Wow, Zili only rolled a 10.
You know what the target number for this was?
Oh, no,
a 10
your survival's plus 2.
It is.
Yeah.
What you understand is when you tend to see stalactites and stalagmites like this, it means that there's a lot of limestone deposits above you, and the groundwater seeping through from rains and stuff are absorbing that limestone and leaving it as mineral deposits in here. And this just happens to be one that's probably been here for maybe 1,000 years or so.
So that means lots of water up there.
Yeah.
Right?
It means, well, over 1,000 years, a lot of water has seeped through.
Mm.
Which is normal for cave formations in areas where there are limestone deposits. So it doesn't seem to be out of the ordinary. Matter of fact, you remember, all of you remember in various cave explorations from your childhood coming across things like this in various caves.
Neat. I'm going to go to the walls, and okay. I don't know what I'm rolling here. But I would like to see if there's any working.
Okay. I would say have that be an investigation check. Again, at advantage. Because you're looking at the cave work, which is... That's well within a a kobold wheelhouse.
My best roll is 10. Including my bonus.
The walls look to be natural. But remember you saw those smears before and you can follow them. You see some of those smears along the lower part of this wall as well.
Where do they go? Can I follow them somewhere?
You could follow it either direction. You don't know which way it was coming or going. But it is.
Well, let's assume I'm going to follow it away toward the east if I can.
Okay. And I'm going to assume because you went over to the stalagmite pillar that you are on the other side of the river at this point.
Yeah.
So you follow the smear, and as you continue to follow, you said you're going east?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You find a second river.
Ooh.
How far away? Like, do we see this, or?
Well, unless you were following.
good point.
She's actually left your field of vision. Your dark vision doesn't go that far.
Okay.
But you find a second river coming into the chamber, and your dark vision is good enough that you kind of see, if you swam upstream from this river, you would also see it opens up and you could go in two different directions to the left or the right. You would have to be in the water for a little bit. You'd have to swim upstream. You think you might be able to manage that. Or your friend who can make bridges out of stone might be able to assist you.
Indeed. Daldon has found another river.
Ooh! Ooh!
Maybe it has
Let's
fish.
Go.
Okay.
Do it.
And when I get there, I'm looking for fish again.
Okay. Give me a roll. Same thing.
Zili bends down to help look for fish.
Okay.
Okay.
Then you can have an 11. I have an 11.
17.
Survival is, it says plus 2 on the thing, yep. But my wisdom is 0, so I don't really know.
Your wisdom profession is survival, though.
Plus zero. Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so I have 11 plus 2. I'm looking for fish. And if I find one, I'm going to grab it.
And I got a 17.
Okay, so how am I going to do this? So I keep having to look at my notes to see what the name of the characters that are doing what. Because I don't want to say, okay, Jen sees this, because Jen is not there. There is no Jen. There is only Gox.
Yes.
So I am just a whole bunch of pop culture quotes and memes stuck together. And puns. The puns sort of everything together. So Gox, you think you see a fish, but it sort of darts out of view real quick. But you're fairly certain that it was not a rock.
Not a rock. Fish.
Yeah, rocks don't swim that quick. So you're fairly certain it was not a rock. Rocks swim much slower than that.
Okay.
They're good at beating you in checkers.
Hmm.
but they don't
make
swim
good baseballs.
Very well.
Don't swim. No.
You have learned this because there was a box of rocks once that beat you in checkers. So you threw the box of rocks into the water, and the rocks did not swim away.
They did not swim.
No. Yes. Zili, on the other hand, you see mm-hmm. several fish.
Ooh.
There's a variety of sizes. Most of them are small. One would argue that they are perhaps appetizer sized, like the mini mozzarella sticks that you can get at a Friendly's restaurant. I don't know if they have Friendly's restaurants where you are. They used to have larger mozzarella sticks that were delicious, and they went to the smaller ones. And it depends on how much you like cheese. Never mind. So you see some smaller ones, but you see some larger ones. They are all white, so they're very easy for you to pick out. You're not entirely sure they see you. Oftentimes when you see all white fish in an underground situation, they're usually blind. But yes, there is food here.
Ah, fish!
Fish? Where?
Fish! In there!
Okay, I'm going to try to grab one.
Baldwin followed them on tour once.
Dang it, you already have a point of inspiration. I can't give you another. Okay, so here's what happens next. You hear,
river, ever, 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 acoustics, acoustics, acoustics.
Ooh, that's a long echo.
Baldwin's voice does not usually echo that long.
Is the river singing or the wall?
That's not an echo.
Hey, what's that? Run away!
Can I look around and see if I see anything?
it just say run away?
It did.
All right.
I don't remember saying run away or hearing anyone say run away.
It's not an echo.
No.
Protect the mushrooms. Protect the mushrooms.
I'm assuming we're not able to determine where it's coming from.
Can I isolate the direction?
Yeah, so if you're looking at where this river flows roughly northward and then mm-hmm. goes underground or out of view, and then it looks like it sort of cuts another tunnel in half, so if you went north a bit more, you could go northwest or southeast. That's the direction you were kind of looking because, like, oh, here's another way out. Maybe we could go this way. You're hearing it come from behind you where the river's been flowing to.
Uh-oh.
Acoustics.
Zili looks behind us.
I'm imagining a comically slow turn with just like your whole body twisting.
Yeah, like that.
All right, so you see teeth.
Ooh.
Oh,
lots of teeth. They're not all the same kinds of teeth. Some are sharp and jagged. Some look more like they are designed for eating grasses and grains. Some look like they are canines. Some are very noticeably cobalt teeth. They are all part of the same mass that is heaving itself up out of the water to the south and sort of flowing towards you.
Evil mouth! Fireball! Now,
does it count as talking food if it's just repeating what we'll solve?
That's a good question.
I love this game so much.
Gox is perplexed. He's like, lost in thought.
Well, on that note, I would like... At this point, I really would like to get a two-hit roll for this firebolt that you are sending off.
Kill it with fire.
Literally.
13? Hello?
A 13 will hit. I had to make sure I had the stats open so I could tell you the right thing. So yeah, 13 hits it. Give me some damage
roll. 7 damage.
7 damage. Okay, you hit it right in the mouth.
Good job.
It's sort of like the firebolt goes into its mouth, it closes, and it sort of bulges a little bit, and then goes back in. and some smoke starts to come out of a couple other mouths.
I can't tell if that worked.
I don't think any of us can.
Kill it, kill it, kill it!
At this point, I think it's safe to say roll for initiative.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a 14.
14 here.
Just here's a second, I need...
Plus 2, Jen, so...
Oh, 16. Okay. 16, yeah.
Whoa! 21.
I also actually rolled a natural 14.
Oh.
Rolled natural 20 plus 1, 21.
Beat me, I'm 18.
So I rolled a 12 and I'm still last.
Oh.
Yeah, but I have a plus 4 to my initiative.
But you're the only one who can cast healing spells, so having you go before everyone else is not necessarily the best idea.
Yeah,
this is true.
This works.
This is true.
This works as a plan.
I'm used to playing a tank.
Oh, yeah, that'd be very different then. Okay, I'm not used to playing a tank, so...
Daldane's going last. Zili's going first. Sox and Gox are going at the same time?
I got 18.
Oh.
And I have a 16.
Okay.
I mean, we both rolled natural 14s, but I have a plus 4 to dex.
Okay, so we have now rolled for initiative, and Zili, you're up. You get to
all right. Zili raises her hands up high and... Chromatic Orb!
Oh, jeez.
What happens?
One moment. I rolled to hit. That's what happened. First, I rolled to hit.
Okay.
We haven't really used... Chromatic Orb in our other campaign, so
no.
I keep forgetting what this does. You hurl a 4-inch diameter sphere of energy at a creature that you can see within range. You choose acid, cold, fire, lightning, poison, or thunder!
19! 19 to hit.
You hit this thing right in one of its faces.
Acid! Zili sort of hurls acid at it, because, you know, she can't tell if the fire works, but most things don't like it when acid hits them in the face.
So far and as... When they release customer surveys afterwards, they get very low responses. Very low scores.
Yeah.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 10, how did you appreciate the acid thrown in your face? A 2. So that is the highest approval rating we've gotten so far.
So 3d8, 9 damage.
I like this.
Zili's kind of crazy, isn't she? I like it.
No, I am awesome.
I don't, you know, those two circles can overlap in a Venn diagram.
Oh yes. Oh yeah.
Sure.
Some would argue that they are a circle.
Crazy is fun.
All right. So now it is this thing's turn, and it continues to lurch its way towards you. Bad news for it, it has a speed of 10 and had just come into your field of vision when you threw the first firebolt at it. So it'll get to you. It's like, oh, I'm trying to remember where I saw this, but there was some TV show or movie or something where somebody's in the street and something's coming towards them and they're screaming, ah, no. Oh, wait, no, it was Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And the guy's just like standing there. Going, no, no, and it's the slowest death ever. This is kind of like that, only instead of a steamroller, you have an unspeakable horror of mouths that's currently partially melted and maybe burning on the inside a little bit.
I'm melee.
Well, this thing is about 20 feet away from you now, and it has... Actually, no, it's going to double move because it can't do anything else. So now it's 10 feet away from you.
Okay.
And next up is going to be Sox.
Okay. Right, I am going to move 10 feet into range of it and go for a swing with the shorts.
You're kind of shocked because you would assume it has really bad breath, but it's not. It's almost minty.
That was a 19 plus 4, 23.
All right, give me some damage.
7 piercing.
Okie doke.
And then I'll go for an offhand strike, unarmed strike.
Okay.
Natural 1.
How does this go?
Try to think the best way to do this. So I swing with the sword, and as I'm trying to lurch back up with to do kind of an uppercut with my right hand, I kind of just punch some rocks instead, and I'll take a point of damage for it because
Okay. So the rocks no longer continue to be an ally. you have
yeah, health wise sucks.
You have lost reputation with the rock faction.
That's fine. There's no mount associated with them.
Socks, what are you at health wise?
I am at 7.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 9, he's a 7.
I think I'm good for like another round.
Well, that's going to depend on. I just looked at what damage this thing can do. Maybe this was not the best idea.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Gox, you're up.
Okay, so I'm assuming that the rage from last battle doesn't carry over.
It's been enough time investigating things that you would have to rage.
Yeah, that
again,
there wouldn't be. Okay,
rage
so
only lasts a minute.
Yeah, okay, so it says 10 rounds, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to rage again. And I want to run in front of my brother, like between the monster and Sox, and then I want to hit the monster with my battle axe.
Okay.
You get advantage on it because of
pack tactics.
Right, and I think I have inspiration, or do I? That was from
no,
the last battle, Meepo. So maybe not.
The inspiration on the last.
Okay,
the,
so that, but I don't have that. Okay, so.
The bardic inspiration only lasts for a minute.
Okay.
As well.
Okay, so I don't have that.
Is it 10 minutes?
Yeah.
That's
I'm
going
to say that you still have that inspiration if you need
really?
It.
Really? Okay, but, well, I want to use that.
Let's wait. Let's okay. wait. Because you already are rolling with advantage because of pack tactics.
Oh, right, yes.
Because Sox is right there.
Okay.
So let's save that inspiration die for if both of these rolls are too low.
Okay, so I'm rolling twice?
Yep, and take the highest.
Okay, that's an 11.
I'm going to tell you right now, that hits.
And the other one's a 10.
Okay. The 11 is sufficient.
Okay.
So give me some damage. I'm assuming
okay,
you're swinging two-handed, so that'd be a 1d10 plus 1.
I'm sorry, what?
You're rolling a 1d10, because I'm assuming you're rolling two-handed.
Oh, 1d10. Okay. Plus 1. All right. Here's the
plus
dice roll.
Plus 3, because you're raging.
Plus 3. Okay, that's a 10.
So 13
plus 3.
Of damage.
Right. And then do I roll again?
Nope, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
Well, unless... you're level 1. You don't get a second attack.
Okay, then that's what I'm doing. What?
You don't get a second attack till 5.
Okay, so then I think I'm done.
All right. Next up is going to be, on my handy-dandy list here, Daldane.
Okay, the beastie is still advancing?
It's got two kobolds that have offered themselves up to be meals. So it might wait to finish them off first.
Okay, talk to the hand! I'm going to cast Mage Hand, palm forward, between Gox and the beastie. It's not an attack. It's just saying stop.
In the way.
It's just nice. In the way, right.
That's such a good idea.
That's creative. I like that.
It looks at the hand, and it's as much as it can. It's mostly mouse. You think you might see a few eyeballs in there, too. But it's sort of like part of it rears up a little bit and looks at the hand like, what the heck is this thing? A little pseudopod with a tiny little mouth comes out and sort of like tries to tap on the hand. Like, what is this thing? It's a little confused.
All it has to do is distract it.
Yeah, I have that doing it as a free action.
And then I'm gonna inspire Sox.
Thank you.
Okay.
Because Sox needs some inspiration.
What was that, D6?
Cool.
There, so I know.
All right. So, it is Zeely's turn.
Die, Mouth Horror, die! Chromatic Orb!
Acid again?
Yes, one moment. I'm rolling to hit.
All right.
23.
That hits.
Okay. So, yes, acid again.
Okay. Give me some sweet, sweet acid damage.
11.
Okay, so the pseudopod that was sort of investigating the hand is what gets hit by this thing first. So it just sort of like dissolves away and then leaves a bit of a melted crater of goo in the body of this thing. And for all you know, it thinks that the hand itself was made of acid and touching it was painful. All right, next up is Sock. Actually, no. No, next up is this thing. All right, well, It is close enough to two of you. It's not going to continue to run forward. It is... The mouths start babbling. Some of the babbles are screams in pain. Some of them are your own voices, things you've said since you entered this cave. Some of them are voices of other kobolds. You're assuming the kobolds that were guarding the mushrooms earlier from what you're hearing. Some of them are totally different words that aren't said in Draconic at all, that are said in Common. So who knows what else it's encountered. Does any of you speak Dwarvish?
I don't think so.
It's neither here nor there.
Let's find out.
I don't remember choosing languages, so...
It would, in a lot of things, it would give it to you automatically. Like, you all automatically speak Draconic because you're a kobold.
Yeah, I don't remember adding that. I don't know where to find it. I'm going to assume I didn't do it.
You speak Undercommon, but that's it.
Okay.
All right. So... Everyone needs to give me a DC 10 wisdom saving throw, because you are all within 20 feet of the
center. Okay.
Your start of the turn, you were 30 feet away, so this was not relevant.
Okay, so I have rolled, DC 10?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I rolled a 4.
Nope.
I also got a 4.
I got an 11.
Huh?
Socks and Gox, don't forget that you've got Bardic Inspiration.
I'm fine. I rolled an 18. Jen, roll your Inspiration.
Okay. 4. What's your wisdom bonus? You don't
it's
have
flat.
One, do you?
It's yeah.
So you will
wisdom's
need,
plus 0.
That's a D6. You're going to need to roll a 6 to make this.
So I need to roll a D6 and get a 6. Is that
yes,
right?
Pretty much.
Okay. Let's see
actually,
what happens.
No, what I would, or you could roll. You could actually. No, you don't have that inspiration. Never mind. So roll your D6.
So okay. It's sitting on my keyboard. Let me try again.
Keyboard dice don't count.
It's a 1.
Okay. Sorry.
It was there. It helped
a little. So basically you are, I'm going to let you decide how you flavor this. You're either mesmerized by all the gibbering voices or you are terrified. Perhaps a combination of two.
Okay. So go ahead.
But on a failure, the creature cannot take reactions until the start of their next turn, and you get to roll a d8 to determine what you're doing on your turn. So go ahead, and the two of you that failed, roll a d8 and tell me the number.
Okay. I don't think I have one of those.
3.
Okay. You're not going to do anything on your next turn.
I don't have a d8.
I can roll for you if necessary.
Sure.
Or you could type / roll.
Oh, okay. D8. Let's try that.
In Discord, because we have a bot that can roll.
So it was / Or was it just actually not the word? The
/ like you're typing a URL.
Okay, what was the rest?
Chris just typed it in chat.
Okay,
you actually don't need the 1. You could just type D8 if you wanted to.
Oh, and okay.
Don't confuse her anymore.
That didn't work.
Yeah, the word rolling.
1. Oh, okay, sorry.
This is episode 1. This is a learning event, and this is all.
Oh, this is going to be the same for me, no matter how many times I try to do this. Okay, I don't know. Somebody
slash
do
slash roll.
I need to roll
slash
there.
And then type ROLL.
Okay. Wait, someone's done one somewhere. That's fine.
Yeah, everyone's rolling dice now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's fine, because the problem is I can't read it. So I don't know what I'm typing. Should I try it again? Or...
How about I just roll for you for this for now?
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
And you know, maybe I will buy like a bag of D8s and have it sent to your house or something. I don't know.
I'm sure I can obtain some, but I don't have it today.
Oh, a 7. Let's see what
okay.
that does.
Does that do?
On a 7, you make a melee attack against a randomly determined creature within your reach.
Okay. What's in my reach?
Your brother and...
Socks and the beastie, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Everyone
okay.
else is 10 feet away from you.
Everyone else is 10 feet away. Okay, so
but
what do I do?
It's not your turn yet, so we're going to figure out
okay.
your turn. It's the mouth's turn.
Okay.
So this gibbering effect, it's now within range, so now you're encountering that. It also can do a bite attack, so it's
okay.
going to.
Okay.
Okay. That was a nat 20.
Oof.
Who are you hitting, though? Because one of us might survive this, the other one definitely will not.
It's going for Gox.
Okay.
There's a chance she will survive this.
One of the largest mouths just sort of opens up and flops forward onto Gox. And I'm going to have it roll this in chat so you can see this.
Okay.
Remember, this is a crit.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Ouch!
And that's okay. Instant death.
That's the end of that.
Depends. I'm going to declare, as a house rule, there's no such thing as instant death of PCs.
Okay.
But, Gox, you now have a great view of the inside of this gibbering mouther as everything starts to go black.
Okay.
All right. So that was the gibbering mouther's turn. It has succeeded in its quest for noms. Gox, it's your turn.
Okay. I'm just going to go for the short sword because I can't do anything else.
You think you see a bit of a foot sticking out of the mouth.
My worry is that if I fail with the pilling, it might give her a failed death save because damage.
Now, you don't think there's enough of what you see to grab on and pull.
Okay. I'm going to go for the short sword then.
Okay.
Natural 20.
I am on board with this. Go ahead and give me that extra damage.
13 points of piercing.
Okay.
And then again, I'll go with another unarmed strike. That's 18.
That's a hit.
And that is 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay, now the short sword strike wasn't enough to do it, but the punch took it over the edge. How do you want to do this?
I want to kind of slash through the first strike and just kind of rip the lips open so that Gox starts to appear and then just kind of uppercut and knock Gox out of the mouth while killing the thing.
Uppercut, punch your brother out of the mouth.
He's a barbarian. He would approve.
Okay. So the rest of this thing sort of like jiggles similar to a bowl of jello in an earthquake and slowly sort of like dissolves down into a puddle of goo with a little bit of acid mixed in. You might not want to step on this, at least for a little while, or drink the water that's coming down this river for quite some time. And there's a bunch of teeth floating on top, and you are holding your brother up one-handed, and it looks very epic, and it's dead.
And I just start shouting, fix him, fix him, fix him, fix him, fix him, fix him.
Daldane will help. Daldane will rush forward and cure wounds on Gox, if that helps at all.
That is an instant stabilization and return to consciousness, yes.
Okay. So does that mean... What does that mean, exactly?
It means whatever gets rolled for the Cure Wounds spell is how many hit points you're at.
Okay.
7.
So that's 9.
9?
Oh, 9.
Okay, 9. Okay, 9. So I am conscious?
Yeah, you're conscious and at 9 hit points.
Okay.
You're above the bloodied mark.
Oh, wow. that's good.
Oh, it does the plus as well.
Oh, cool.
Wait, what?
We were experimenting with your role at. It does the pluses.
Yes,
oh, okay. All right, cool.
Really?
All right, so I'm conscious, so I'm like shaking my head in confusion. What happened?
You became something's dinner.
Oh.
Oh, good! You're alive!
Uh-huh.
Don't do that again.
I don't know what I did.
Destroyed the thing! Mouth horror! You got eaten. Slightly.
Oh. Gok's not food.
I punched
maybe
it
more than slightly.
I punched it and you fell out.
Nice choice, brother.
Yeah, what I do.
Gok's not food is the title of Daldane's next song.
Yay.
I don't think we can eat this. This looks very not edible.
Plus it talk.
Yeah.
As soon as you say this looks very not edible, a bubble that was forming on the surface of this thing just pops and little bits of glue fly in various directions.
That is
sort of like it added a period at the end of your sentence.
Okay. Can we go now?
lost.
I'm assuming this is the thing that ate all the mushrooms.
Thaldun suggests we'll rest and then go up the stream.
Okay.
How long has it been since we actually left and began this crazy adventure?
About 5 minutes.
No, because you had a short rest.
There was a short rest
in there somewhere.
So it's been maybe about
30
half
minutes.
An hour to 40 minutes.
It's been an eventful 30 minutes.
Yep.
Most of that was spent with you resting and trying to gain your hit points back.
Which was needed.
You as a group are fairly certain that this thing was the thing that came through and ate the mushrooms based on what it was yelling. And also, as you look at what came out of the water, the path that it took, you see a very familiar smear mark.
Ah, yes. I'm going to need a long rest if I'm going to heal anybody else.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a long rest to heal up, I think.
Okay. Well, you know your way back.
Let's go back.
We go back! We should go back then and tell them what we have killed!
Okay.
Plus, we can navigate by the flaming ensemble.
You are an excitable little person, aren't you? I like it.
All right. So you head back, and the kobolds are very happy to hear that you took care of the problem and found some fish. It's not enough that they're not entirely sure it's enough to last all the way through the winter, but you have increased your ability to survive.
My logic would dictate to us that we can maybe fish some more eventually.
It's possible. I mean, you might overfish, but something tells me that kobolds are not entirely on board with conservation activities.
Yeah, I don't see them being on to that either.
Yeah, if you fish out this stream, you just find another stream.
Well, Daldun think if there's fish downstream, there's more fish upstream. Because things flow downstream.
And I'm nodding my head as if I understand you. Uh-huh.
And then now you're back at the kobold settlement, so another kobold says,
but don't salmon swim upstream?
But those fish, not salmon.
These are clove fish. Thaldun want big fish.
Another totally different kobold says, could they be cave salmon?
I don't know. Are cave salmon white?
Several kobolds just shrug.
Anyway, they were swimming downstream.
Really, we'll find out.
Yes!
It will be subject of Daldun's next big song. You listen.
I love this campaign.
So we're
it's our first
going
session
fishing?
I love this campaign so much.
I think we go sleep before we go fishing.
A long rest might be recommended.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Speaking
Daldun
of long
the
rest,
booty slump.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming up to the 2-hour mark.
Okay.
So we have a couple options. I would suggest either one, we take another short break, or two, we end it for here. It's up to you. I'm cool either way.
I'm down with continuing. I do need a short break.
I do not mind.
I'm good.
Let's take a short break, but I'm good with going on.
All right. So we'll be back in a little bit. Let me press some buttons. All right. We are back. And probably in the edited version, this will be session 2. Episode 1B.
Went a little long. Yeah.
I'm okay with this. I'm okay with this because I'm not entirely sure how long this campaign will go. I'm not sure. There's no way I'm going to be able to start at 5 o'clock on Monday.
Ellie's mic is making feedback things.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if anything can be done about it, but...
Is your mic pushed to talk?
Oh, it's good now, I think.
Okay. Well, then we should be okay. All right.
Is it still doing it?
No.
Nope. It was just causing an echo from you when Crash was talking.
Weird.
It's okay.
Yeah, that is weird. But I think you fixed it.
Well, as any good teacher, I do enjoy the sound of my own voice. So, wait. Not supposed to admit that out loud. All right. So.
Anyway, I was going to say Pack Tactics, The Wrath of Kobold.
Ha 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 ha
God darn it.
I am so in love with this campaign. We got to have this continue once school starts. And we'll have to reschedule the time, but this is fantastic. Okay. So in our last session that we just concluded a little while ago, you, as the Kobold Volunteers, went off into the tunnels and found and slew a gibbering mouther that had eaten a significant number of your food stores. Mm-hmm. And also a random zombie, because random zombie. The zombie wasn't a problem until you unearthed it. And now it is slightly charred. And in doing that, you all leveled up. Yay! Now you're level 2 kobolds.
Hmm.
It was a farmer zombie, so it spent the entire time going, grains.
Oh, grains. Ellie!
That's awesome.
That was brilliant. That was beautiful.
Now, why is it when I use puns, Chris threatens to kill me?
Because that was an actual good pun.
So having the dwarf named Craig who made a list wasn't genius? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I'd visit Craig's list.
It was a good list.
Don't help him.
All right. So,
but I might, if I really wanted to be serious about it, there's a bay where everything is like everything's for sale. Oh, and it's just the one guy's in charge of it. And all anybody knows is that his name is E.
Oh no.
I do hear that there's a guy who sells stuff there named Michael, and it's great for excavation work because everything he sells explodes.
It's true. It's true.
Oh, wow.
I regret so many things about my choices.
Crash and I should not be allowed in the same party.
No.
Oh, I love this game so much. I say this every week. Every week when I play D&D, I say this, and I get to say this so many times. And when school starts, I am starting a D&D club with students. I kid you not. It will happen.
Yay.
I know. It's going to be fantastic.
Teach them young.
Well, you're pretty sure you eliminated the source of your food being eliminated. And you did find a source of food in the fish. And while you were taking a long rest, other kobolds went out and started fishing, and they have brought back a few bushels, and they're like, there's no fish left.
Mm.
So you've got enough that you might last another week or so, but things are still not looking too good for this kobold group.
And I'm assuming there's no way for us to get up to the temple and ask them for food.
Well, your understanding in speaking with them is they have enough food that they'll probably be able to get through the winter, but they're going to need money if you want them to buy food for you. They're willing to go into town and buy food for you for the winter, but they've put most of their funding into things for the temple construction itself. They don't need to buy stone because you've graciously helped out with that, but there's other accoutrements throughout the temple, like the stained glass window that's shaped like a wagon wheel. For some reason that you cannot discern for the life of you.
That
costs money.
When Fenix and Meeple return, we need to have some discussions with them.
Technically, you've already had discussions with them because this is in the future.
Yes, we need to have more, though, if they're not going to give us the means to survive.
How much will it cost to get food for the winter for the clan?
There isn't really a set price. It's going to depend on haggling skills, but the more money you can find, the more treasure you can find that can be exchanged for money, the better.
Well, I'll give them the pouch full of gold pieces.
Okay. That's 3 gold. They can get you some stuff, but they're doubtful that's going to be enough. Three gold,
it won't be.
3 gold will buy a human a nice meal.
Well.
They have it on good authority that at one platinum piece... One platinum piece will buy a wagon full of cake.
Daldon does like cake.
Well, if you give them a platinum piece, they can clear out a cake shop for you. It comes with a free wheelbarrow.
Galden does like wheelbarrows.
Oh, good.
No.
Well, we must find food and or money.
Let's go fight some more zombies.
Okay. Wait, do zombies have money?
That the last one did.
Ah, okay.
Well, in fairness, they were people.
Zombies are people too.
No, not anymore.
This is news to Gox. Yeah.
Zombies are like, used to
zombies are people? Hey.
Zombies are ex-people.
You've started another conversation amongst the collected kobolds. I love that alliteration. About at what point meat stops being talking meat.
We really are setting some philosophical boundaries here, guys.
It's less a boundary and more a tense issue.
I feel like zombies aren't edible whether they're talking meat or not. They tend to be sort of rotty.
Yeah.
At least it's only one tense issue, because if it was more than one, then you'd have two tense. You'd be too tense.
Fortunately, we're in caves, so things aren't really intense.
At some point, the party's going to take psychic damage from these puns.
Oh, I think I'm already there.
If anyone could damage people with puns, it would be the bard. They got vicious mockery sometimes.
Oh, vicious mockery, the best way to insult a character's lineage.
Dal, don't think we should go back to Pillar Room and go up that river? The river 2.
That sounds like a good idea.
Sounds okay. Like a plan.
Yes, right. We go!
All right. So you march off heroically as kobolds can march. With music accompanying it, because you do have a bard with you.
Mm-hmm.
It was either that or hi-ho, hi-ho. It's off to work we go.
That's hi-ho, more dwarves.
Hi-ho, it's off to work we go.
All right, so you get back to the cave system, and you go back to the stalactite pillar room. And as you go through this room, you realize that at the southern end of this, Underground River 1 and Underground River 2 meet up and go back through the ground. And you're fairly certain, because as kobolds you have a good sense of direction underground, that this leads into or perhaps feeds the underground water source that this kobold tribe tends to use as their main source of water. So you're not at the source of it, but you think you're further upstream from that, and this leads to that. So you're kind of surprised that they weren't finding any fish in that other part.
Or,
maybe
you know,
ate them all.
Bits of the gibbering mouther.
Possibly. But you do get to that same spot that you saw before, where you would have to do some swimming or bridge building, but you could continue to the northwest or to the east. If you got past this river part.
If only Dalden knew someone who could build a bridge.
Alas, you probably
That's
don't.
Me!
Oh.
Whoosh. And Zili starts bridging things.
All right. So suddenly the room is full of bridges. Multiple bridges. Some of them even go to where you want to go. But others are just like one bridge leads over top of another bridge, which goes to another bridge, which goes from one part of the floor to another part of the floor.
That Zaylee is showing off.
The ghost of MC Escher shows up, looks around, gives you a thumbs up, and then dissipates.
Dalden returns to humans. I have a bridge to sell you.
It's golden. Never mind. All right, so which way do you want to go? Northwest or east?
I think we're supposed to go northwest.
You could go either.
I mean, for the up? For the going up. East was the Gibbering Mouther, right?
No, the Gibbering Mouther came from the south.
Oh.
It came up behind you.
Oh, right.
They came from...
Dalden somehow drawn to Northwest Passage.
Let's go!
Okay.
All right.
It seems like cultural goal. Northwest Passage.
I got it.
Well, you came from South by Southwest, so...
No wonder Dalden felt so at home there.
There's some moments where I just have to sit back and smile at the life choices that I have made. That have led to this moment. They are good moments. I need to roll something.
Uh-oh.
Why uh-oh? Why must you insist that something bad has occurred?
Because it's you.
That's no excuse. It's a reason, but it's not an excuse. All right. So you come to a sort of oblong chamber. There is a passageway that goes off towards the east a bit from here. But what strikes your attention the most is this oblong chamber that has a bunch of alcoves. And it looks natural for the most part. You don't see tool marks on the rock or anything. It looks like maybe it was worn out through erosion or it was a natural air pocket or something. But at the same time, it's kind of interesting how each of these alcoves is kind of evenly spaced. It's a mix of this is natural and this is not natural. And you're not quite sure which it is.
Are the alcoves blocked over like the zombie alcoves?
No, you could walk into these just fine.
Okay. Then Dalton will explore.
All right. So there are, just so you know, 1, 2, 3. There are 6 alcoves in here. Which one do you walk into?
Number 3.
Okay. So you walk past 2 alcoves and go into the 3rd one. And you see a die falling on my keyboard, so that doesn't count. Keyboard dice don't count.
I have slid past the veil, friends.
you see a guy at a keyboard, and he just looks at you and says, "Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain." He pulls a curtain across.
He said not to pay attention to him, so I'm going to go to one of the other ones.
So you walk away from alcove number 3 with a very suspicious curtain hanging in front of it. Actually, technically, that would be the 4th one.
Because you broke the 4th wall.
Right.
Deadpool walks by, gives you a thumbs up, and walks away.
And then Zee Wee looks at alcove number 1.
Okay. You find a box. It looks like a crate, actually. You've seen humans use these before. Matter of fact, going through a crate like this led to you kind of maybe accidentally on purpose stowing away on a particular flying city that maybe didn't end up as well for you as you thought it would originally. But it's a crate sitting in there, and the wood looks kind of old, little moldy, mildewy. It's been here for a while.
Okay, time to open the crate.
All right.
Hit it with the hammer.
But you didn't mail it to yourself.
I'm chaotic neutral. I don't care about the mail system.
I'm saving on postage.
Or to save on postage, you don't have any poison on you. Actually, maybe does chromatic orb do poison damage?
Let me check. Yeah, it can.
This week on Digressions. Dungeons and Digressions. There's an episode name. All right, so this crate, give me a strength check. Strength athletics.
Okay. Thankfully, I'm actually proficient in athletics, so that's only a minus 1. So 1, 3, minus 9.
All right. Well, good news. The lid was kind of stuck, but more because it's been sitting unused in a rather damp cave for who knows how many years. So you are able to pry it open. It wasn't nailed shut. And as you open it, a waft of debris, particulates, whatever, just sort of come out from the air, disturbing it. And as you look in, you see what looks to have been, at one point, something that was food adjacent.
Ooh, yuck. That's not edible anymore.
Yeah.
Time to leave and check another alcove.
Yeah, kobolds are able to eat mushrooms. They do enjoy mushrooms if they don't have anything else to eat, but the fungus that's growing in there is not so fun.
Let's look at another alcove!
Okay. Well, while you were doing that, I believe Daldane said that she was going to look in alcove number 3. All yes. joking aside about a man behind a curtain. In that one, you also find a crate.
Great!
Yeah, it is a superb looking crate. Maybe a bit old. Maybe you've been there for a little while.
Daldane will kick it.
All right. I won't require a hit roll because it's a very large crate. And if you missed something that large, well, never mind.
I need to have words with my foot.
You kick it and you leave a dent.
How hard did he kick it? Can I hear that from where I'm at?
Yeah. It's a sizable room, but not large enough that something on the far end is outside of the scope of your dark vision.
Okay, so I'm going to go over and see what's going on in there.
Gox, I'm unimpressed with this crate.
Huh. How big is this crate?
It does not respond to my diplomacy.
Huh. Well, maybe it responds to a battle axe. And I want to, like, strike at the crate.
Okay. For a battle axe, I am going to require a 2-hit roll.
Okay. So, roll a 20, is that right?
Go ahead.
Okay. 16
you
on the dice.
Give me All some right. damage.
Now I got to find the damage. Hold on. okay.
I want to make a crate with Thaco Zero.
All right, I'm trying to figure out... I'm looking at inventory. That's the problem. Okay, it's a 1d8, so I'm
going to... Well, unless you are using it two-handed. If you're using it two-handed, you're going to do a 1d10.
Oh, I could do two-handed. Sure. All right, I have a 10. I'll roll that. And it is a 2.
Okay, you do 2 points of damage.
Okay.
The battle axe is firmly stuck in the lid of this thing. Matter of fact, if someone had attempted to try to lift the lid at this point, they would not be able to because you have successfully nailed it shut with a battle axe.
Oh, no.
Okay, so I'm putting my foot on the crate and trying to pull the battle axe out with my weight.
Okay.
You see what I mean? It is very non-diplomatic.
I love this game so freaking much. All right, so you go to put your foot on the... crate and you give it a pull. I need you to give me a strength check.
Okay. I have a 16 and strength is a +1.
Okay. You manage to yank the battle axe free and then you stumble a bit.
That's a tough crate.
Well, you stumble a bit because your foot is still on the crate.
Oops.
It's stuck to the crate.
It's stuck to the crate?
It's stuck to the crate.
Which looks a bit taller
than it was when you first hit it.
Uh-oh. This,
and a bit wider.
This crate is sticky, guys.
Oh,
and
no.
It's flowing.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Roll
oh, no.
Initiative.
Oh, no. It's a mimic. It's a mimic.
Oh, my God, Crash.
I've rolled a 20 for initiative.
So
I'm on board with this.
Two for you. I rolled a 19, which is a 23 for me.
Let's see. I rolled a 6, which fits because I'm like all the way over there.
That works.
Ellie rolled a 20. She's going third.
Wow.
I love it.
Well, you give Gox her foot back.
And the crate is going tomorrow.
That's a natural one.
Why, yes. Yes, it is. Technically, it has a 2. Because it has a +1 to that. There's no such thing as a crit fail when rolling initiative.
I know.
All right, so, Sox, you're up. I'm assuming you were not in this alcove, but you do hear Daldane insisting that a crate returns Gox's foot.
Well, I have 40 feet of movement, so can I get there?
Very easily.
Okay.
Is Gox her or him?
Him.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, they're brothers.
Yep, brothers. a year apart.
So far as kobolds are concerned, it doesn't matter too much, but currently they're brothers.
Right. That could change.
That could change. Right, I'm going to...
Careful, brother, it's sticky. I say with my foot stuck to the crate.
Oh, no, okay. I punch things. That's going to be problematic. No, let's see how this goes. I'm going to swing with my short sword, and I'm next to Gox, yeah?
Sure.
Well, you could be. I mean...
You've got enough movement.
I would like to be next to Gox. So 5 and a 16, I'll take that 16 to make it plus 6, 22.
A 22 grazes it slightly. you were a little off. You almost hit the wall, but the mimic got in the way.
That's 9 points of piercing damage. Have I lost my sword?
That is a very good question. I'm going to say, give me a strength check.
God. 12 minus 3, so 9.
Well, you haven't technically lost your sword. You know exactly where it is.
Okay.
But if you let go of the sword, it's going to remain exactly where you've put it.
I'm going to let go of the sword and spend a key point to flurry of blows. This could go very poorly.
This could
be funny.
This Cox really is wincing funny. Now. Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be so funny. Okay, so that's 2 unarmed strikes, both at advantage. First is a 17 to hit.
That will hit.
And second is...
Almost like the mimic wants count. To
be. Second is a natural 20, actually.
Okay. So give me the damage, and then we're going to have some strength checks.
First is 6 bludgeoning. Second is 4 plus 2 plus 4. 10 bludgeoning.
10 total for both strength?
No, 16 total.
Oh, I'm on board with this plan. Okay, now give me 2 strength checks.
For my fists. One's a 15. You the other's a 1. Free.
So... Normally, in this campaign,
it's
I would
ask
you...
It's not a natural one. It's 4 minus 3.
Okay. Then it's not a crit fail. But, yeah, you pull one hand free, and the other one is... you're writing this off as, if I'm inside the mimic, I can do damage from the inside. That's how you're justifying the fact that your hand is now in there, and you're not getting it back out again.
Okay.
As we all know, this went really well with the gibbering mouther.
This went exactly as I planned.
All according to plan.
Phase 2 of that plan, I don't know what that is, but phase 1 went exactly how I planned.
Phase 2, you stick your other hand in to get the first hand out. Then you put your foot in for leverage. Then you put the other foot in for additional leverage. Then you pull your limbs out with your head.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. I still have... a right arm, 2 feet, and a head for an arm strike. Yeah.
This is very similar to... There was a charity stream that Wizards of the Coast did, and they had a bunch of personalities, including Ed Greenwood, the Ed Greenwood. They were all playing turtles. He was playing a turtle monk, and they were fighting a ship mimic. And every turn, he just used another limb to hit this thing, and it got stuck. I think he actually was the one that did lethal damage because he ended up doing unarmed strikes from the inside of it.
Wow.
He had to get a strength check to do that, but that was fun.
Hashtag goals.
Hashtag goals being Ed Greenwood. He is an incredible person. But
it's true.
It is true. So next up is going to be Gox.
Okay. See that... Yep.
You could, as an action, try to free your foot. Or you could try to attack it. Your choice.
So my foot is stuck to the mimic, and the battle axe is where?
Free. You pulled the sword. No, you pulled the axe free.
Okay. I think I'm going to try to get my foot free.
All right.
Bye. I don't know.
I recommend you not cut foot off.
Good plan. Good advice. Smart kobold.
As the DM... I am going to make a suggestion for you, because you do have a bonus action available to you. that as a barbarian you should make use of.
Okay.
Would you, by any chance,
he's saying is, would you like to...
Yes. Would you care to rage?
Yes. Yes, that sounds good.
Because that gives you advantage on strength checks.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So I'm going to rage. Okay. And then I'm going to try... Like, how is my foot attached to the mimic? Am I hanging from it, or is it stuck and I'm standing on the ground, or how is
it? Well, you put one foot on the crate to pull your axe free. So you got one foot flat on the ground, and one foot with your knee bent up against the crate, which is now obviously not a crate.
Okay.
Especially since your brother is there next to you with a sword and fist, both stuck in the crate.
Okay, so how am I going to get free? I think what I'm going to try to do, since I know this thing sticks to battle axes, and it's already sticking to my foot, and I've seen my brother get stuck in there too, so I think I'm going to try to, like, lunge backwards with all of my rage and all of my strength and try to get the foot free that way.
All right, and you're doing this at advantage because you're really angry about this.
Yes, I do not want another creature to eat me, so...
another amorphous creature. You have an affinity for amorphous creatures eating you at this point.
They have an affinity for me, I think. Okay, so I'm rolling a 20, right?
Yes, roll a d20 twice.
Okay, that's a 15.
And what's your strength modifier?
Strength, that one went over something.
Strength is plus one.
Yeah.
Okay, so that first
second
roll
is an 18.
Okay, so second roll was even better. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So, your foot is free, but that was your action for this turn.
Okay, I am free!
And
I raise my axe over my head, and I am angry!
Duldane, this mimic has failed to respond to any of your attempts at diplomacy. Peace talks have broken down. What do you intend to do?
Duldane places a hand on socks. Says, it's now or never. Duldane can't guarantee you're not going to live forever. You just want to live while Sock's alive. And cast Heroism.
Oh.
Oh, neat.
What does that do?
Heroism, you are immune to being frightened and gain temporary hit points equal to my spellcasting ability modifier, which is 2.
Ooh. Wonderful. You're a wonderful person.
And I am going to bardically inspire Zeely.
Woo!
Which is very fitting, because Zeely, it's now your turn.
All right. So Zeely is hearing this huge commotion, so she abandons the crate of X food and comes running. And, it looks like everyone is now attempting to fight a crate.
Well, it doesn't look much like a crate anymore. His hand.
Ah.
Careful, this crate is sticky. As if you couldn't tell. You know.
Firebolt!
All right, give us an attack roll.
Wow. Oh, I can do pack tactics, though, so I have advantage. 17!
A 17 will hit this thing.
All righty. 10 damage.
10 damage. Duly noted.
Hmm.
All right, and next turn, next action is it's the mimic's turn now. All right, so it shoots out a pseudopod and takes a swipe at that annoying sound it keeps hearing in here.
Whoops, that's me.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. let's see, its attack gets a plus. All right. Okay, so question, because I don't have your character sheet in front of me right now. Does a 23 mm-hmm. hit?
Tragically, yes.
Okay.
Unless I get a saving throw.
Just wanted to make sure. There are exceptions. You take 7 points of damage from this pseudopod smacking you.
Oh.
And there is also currently someone who has done their best to try to be eaten by the mimic already, so it figures it might as well. you don't look a gift horse in the mouth, and look a kobold monk in, well, you don't look a mimic in the mouth, but unfortunately the kobold monk is currently looking in the mimic's mouth, because suddenly a mouth opens up Oh, no. Next to you, socks. Mm-hmm. You almost wish the mouth opened up around your hand because then you'd have a chance to pull it free. No. Mm-hmm. No, that would be too easy. Mm-hmm. This mouth goes for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 14 on the die.
What's the modifier?
I'm sorry. No, I'm wrong. It's a 9 on the die. It's a plus 5 to hit, so it's 14 total.
That's a mess.
Ooh.
Right. So it tries to bite you, and somehow you're able to just wiggle to the left or the right or duck or something, and the mouth bites air. And then
he starts screaming for profanity, that other thing.
And then it takes a few tentative, like, chomp chomps. Like, wait a minute, there was something there. It knew there was, and it's sort of like feeling around with the mouth for something. And I'm pantomiming with my hands, and I realize this is not an episode that involves
me. No one can see you.
So no one can see me.
Uh-huh. Daldun is going to have a conversation with your employer.
All right. Well, Docs, it's your turn. Okay.
It worked so well last time. The sword's still attached to it, though, so I can't use the sword.
Yeah, the sword's just hanging there. You could try to pull the sword free with your free hand if you really wanted to.
That would be my action, though.
It would be.
You could snap the sword in further.
I was going to say, could you brace your feet against the crossbar of the sword and push it in further?
Could I do that? Could I try that?
You could attempt it, but it would be up to the DM to decide if the sword goes in or your hand comes free.
I think either way you benefit.
Yeah.
But the thing is, next turn, I'm going to be hitting the thing and I'm just going to have my hand stuck to it anyway.
Yeah, so, but you'll get the hit in.
Tell me what you want to do.
I want to try and get leverage on the sword so that I can push the sword in further whilst trying to get my hand out so that it's a combination of an attack whilst trying to get away.
Okay. This is almost like a creation of saltwater taffy scenario.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
All right. Well, give me a d20 roll.
I mean, this is a very... As much as it's not food for the kobolds, it's a delicious encounter.
So, are we considering this an attack for advantage or not?
I'm not going to consider this to be an attack because you're basically attempting two things at once, and some DMs might decide that's not possible. So, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do a pack tactics thing here. However, okay. What am I adding to this? For this, I would add your strength modifier.
Oh, God. Okay. So, -3. 10.
All right. Well, you grab hold of that sword, and you push, and as much as this thing wants you to get in its belly, it doesn't want the sword to get in its belly. So the sword does not budge. And that roll was also not high enough for you to pull your other hand free.
Okay, then.
If you rolled high enough, I would have allowed both things to happen.
That's fine. Then I will spend a key point and use patient defense, which is the dodge action.
Okay.
That's my turn.
Okay. Next up is Gox.
Okay, so I am free, but my brother is stuck. So I'm going to go over and say, let me help you. And I'm going to like put my arms around him and like try to pull him off of the mimic.
Okay. You give me a strength check.
Okay.
I will not contest this grapple.
All right, good.
Your brother's hugged you before.
I've rolled a 1. I didn't hug him hard enough.
You're raging. Okay. If it's a strength check, wait, you get advantage. Yeah,
that's true. I get another roll? Is that right?
Yeah, roll again.
Ah, okay. Okay, now I have a 4, but it ran over something on my desk. Let me move some stuff out of my way and try to roll the dice properly. It's a 5. It's a 5. So, oh wait, is it? Yeah, that's a 5.
Just keep rolling it every time it's going to go up by 1.
Yeah, you know, all day.
So you grab onto your brother and you're holding tight and pulling on him like, brother, I will help you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just so you know, Sox, you hear some of your ribs sort of start to creak a little bit in a way that you're familiar with when your brother gives you a hug.
Fair enough.
Yep.
There are times when you're okay with this. This is not particularly one of these times because you feel like it's going to inhibit your ability to dodge things.
Did I just waste a key point?
Oh, no. Did I just screw that up?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Zeely.
Yes.
There is there's currently a hug party going on. You would probably not advise hanging out and hugging people right in front of a giant animated crate that's trying to eat things, but that seems to be going on over to the side.
Yeah, I don't think the mimic should be invited to the hug party. Firebolt!
Where am I in the lineup?
I would say you're to the right.
The initiative lineup.
I'm sorry, I skipped you. I shouldn't have done that. Well, we know what Zeely's going to do. Daldane, what are you going to do first?
I'm sorry, remind me what the result of Gox's action was.
Gox gave Sox a hug and pulled, but didn't manage to pull.
Didn't
Sox
get him free, yeah.
Okay. Daldane will give Gox a hand and cast Mage Hand to pull on Sox as well.
All right.
Okay.
So here's how I'm going to treat this. And I'm sure people listening to this, assuming anyone listens to this, who have DM'd will go, wait, that's not how you play D&D. Well, forget you. These are house rules. I'm going to say that you are retroactively giving advantage to Gox. So Gox, give me another strength check.
Okay. Let's try this again. Bounced off my keyboard. All right, I swear the next time I play D&D, I'm going to clear off my desk because it's this perpetual problem.
I have a
for
tray
me.
That I roll in just for this.
Yeah, I'm going to need to do that, I think. I have rolled a 2. Gox is tired.
Well, eventually, the situation will be over.
Mm, yeah.
And we're getting closer to
being...
Because
I will have been eaten.
Yeah, that is one possible situation. Another one is Zeely casts Firebolt.
And gets a 17 to hit, and so I assume that hits.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And 1d8. And does 10 damage again.
I am on board with this. So, in a normal situation, I would say that at this point the mimic is bloodied. But you've been mostly damaging it with fire-based attacks, so it is...
super bloodied?
It is flambéed. It is perhaps grilled or barbecued. Not quite dead yet. I love this game so much. And it is now the mimic's turn. It's going to swing a pseudopod at Sox. That's a nat 20.
Oh no, not again! Not again!
So I'm going to do this crit in the channel again.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Double the die, but use the same bonus.
I'm actually still awake.
Oh.
You've seen better days. On a scale
I'm
of 1 to 10?
13. I'm on 4 health.
On a scale of 1 to 10, you'd give this day maybe about a 2. Maybe a 3. There was that interesting rock that you saw earlier.
Those temporary hit points definitely helped. Wait, did you roll at disadvantage?
Why disadvantage?
Dodge action? Did it completely get rid of it?
Oh, yeah. Right. I hope I didn't screw that up. I didn't think about that.
It still hits, but it doesn't crit.
I'll take it.
7 points of damage, not 13.
Okay.
All right. So now it has its bite attack. I'm sorry?
Sorry. Just...
Just like, oh, we just narrowly dodged a failure here. And okay, so now it's for its next
attack. Got another one.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so still at disadvantage if that's what you're doing.
Oh, no, I'm not going to roll again.
Okay.
Because right as Ellie laughed out loud, I rolled a natural 1.
Okay.
Yes! My laughter saved Sam Kane's.
Well, you are a bard.
So it makes sense.
So
saving campaigns with laughter, it's what bards do, right?
Next level, Tasha's uncontrollable.
Years from now, when you are retired and raising the third or fourth generation of little kobold children after you, you will recall this story and say that you still have no frickin' idea how when you were halfway into a mimic, it still missed being able to bite you that poorly.
Because of a monk's amazing dexterity.
Well,
so
that's
I imagine, I have to imagine, the pseudopod smack Sox. As the mimic tries to bite Sox, and the pseudo and the mimic bites the pseudopod.
It punches its own self in the mouth. How about that?
That's pretty good.
It's a crit fail. That forget that. That's canon. I'm rolling damage.
If it rolls a 20 to hit with the pseudopod and it rolls a 1 to hit with the mouth, I'm not sure there's anything else that can go wrong there.
It does 10 points of damage to itself.
Does it knock itself out?
It does not.
Oh, that would be great if it did. Oh my goodness.
It did bite the pseudopod off. And it's hard to tell Mimic's emotional state. They don't have a lot of features to work with. And even then, they're not known for being the most intelligent of beings. But you're fairly certain it is both confused about what just happened. And to be fair, so are you. And also regretting a few life choices that it may have made.
That's fair. It should be regretting those life choices.
So, Sox.
Hello.
What would you like to do?
My turn?
It is your turn.
Hit it with a hammer!
Well, I think everyone wants me to hit it, so I'm just going to punch it.
Give me an attack roll.
And everyone's here, so... advantage. It's 19 to hit.
That's a hit.
It's a d4. That's a 3, so that is 7 points of bludgeoning damage.
Okay.
So I punched it, and then I'm going to kick it for my unarmed strike.
So you don't even try to pull your hand out? So then you've got two hands in there?
I'll try to pull my hand out once I roll for the kick.
Okay, so right now you've just got both fists in there.
That's 2 then.
Okay. So you are able technically to kick, but you hit a rock that's in front of it. All right, so Gox, your brother's a bit more immersed in this thing than he was before. What would you like to do?
I'm gonna talk to him. Brother, I'm trying to save you and you're making things harder. What do you want me to do? Should I let go?
Let it eat me. I'll punch it from the inside.
Okay. So I let go. And I'm staring at this mimic going, huh, what can I do?
Well, letting go is a free action, so you've still got, you could attack or you could do something else.
Okay. I guess I'm going to attack and hope that I hit hard enough that the axe doesn't stick this time. That's the plan. Okay. And I think I'm still raging, right? Because it's 10 rounds. I don't think we did 10 rounds.
No, I think it was like round 3.
I've rolled a 1. Do I roll again or no?
You have pack tactics, so yes, you get to roll again.
Okay. I've rolled a 1 again. It was meant to be.
Okay, so how do you fail at this?
How do I fail at this? Let's see. All right, I move a little bit away from my brother because I don't want to hit him. So that's my movement. And then I take a swing at like the corner of the box on the like right on the edge and just miss it. And spin around. Okay.
Your battle axe sort of glances off the wall and there's sparks and it looks really cool. And you now have lost reputation with the rock faction.
Yeah.
You know, if like 7 sessions or 17 sessions or whatever later, something comes up with like earth elementals that all hate us because we keep kicking rocks, I'm going to laugh and laugh.
Oh, yeah.
Rocks might actually fall and kill the entire party if your reputation with them goes low enough. It could happen.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, Daldane, you're up.
Sox, how are you feeling about a constitution check?
Where I make a con check?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Daldane says there's been thunderstruck. And I cast Thunderwave.
All right.
And that's... each creature in a 15-foot cube originating from me must make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, each creature takes 2d8 thunder damage and is pushed 10 feet away from me. On a successful save, the creature takes half as much damage as it isn't pushed.
It's a natural one.
Uh-oh.
Well, you have...
damage. 8 points of damage. All right. So the Malther... Not Malther. The Mimic failed its save also. How do you want to do this?
I'll let forth a shout and slam it back against the back of its cubby.
All right. So this thunder wave erupts from your hand, and Sox is unfortunately caught in the blast and knocked prone along the ground. But the majority of this blast sort of gets caught in the mimic itself, which had already reared up a bit. So for the briefest of moments, it resembles a ship's sail being pushed in a strong wind. And then it hits the back wall of this alcove. And it resembles, at this point, a water balloon that's been thrown at a brick wall.
Oof.
And it sort of drips down, but it's not forming back up again. You have successfully destroyed the mimic.
Woo! All right. So I go over to check on...
I go to check on socks. Yeah.
You knocked his socks off.
Oh. And I'm asking him, brother, are you okay? What are you... I'm like fine. Freaking out.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
I'm alive. I'm good.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm at 2 health, but I'm alive.
Okay, can you fix him? Fix him. He needs help now.
Avoid stepping on any sharp pebbles.
I'm so glad I gave you that heroism at the beginning.
You?
Oh, that's right. You gave him 2 hit points.
Oh, my. And that's what saved him.
I was like, well, 2 hit points isn't a whole lot, but kobolds need every little bit they get. Yes. Yes.
All right. So I'll cure wounds on him, and then I'll take a short rest and play for him. Six hit points back, and then 1 hit point back. Everybody gets the 1 hit point.
Cool. I'm already at max, but it's nice anyway.
Yeah, you did pretty well.
Yeah, didn't get hit this time. Did not get eaten. Oh. Tried that. Wouldn't recommend it. No.
All right. So you take a short rest and hang out. You still have... Now, you only explored 2 different alcoves. You got 4 more you could look in.
Yeah, we got 4 more to look in.
Oh, okay.
So I'll pick up my... Norbert, touch a crate.
Before we do anything, I'm making sure I pick up my sword. My short sword.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Throw rocks at crates.
Huh. Okay. All right, so I pick up my battle axe and I start walking towards whichever one we didn't look at yet.
Duldane, give me an insight check.
Uh-oh.
That's 12.
Okay. It occurs to you that the mimic didn't respond when you kicked it the first time.
That's true.
So it might not respond by throwing a rock at it.
Well, only one way to make sure.
Oh, no.
Stand clear.
Okay. Okay.
I don't need to stand and clear into this game. I don't need to. This is fantastic.
How clear are people standing? Do I still have advantage on this attack roll?
I'm going to stand behind you.
Behind the crazed kobold sorcerer is probably the best location to be.
That's where I'm going.
Okay.
Real blue backup bands a little.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're going to fire something into one of the other alcoves?
Oh, no. I thought we were debating whether the mimic was actually dead.
Ah. At this point, because you've been hanging out in this chamber for an entire short rest and it hasn't reformed, it's...
Oh, I got really confused.
Well, it's healed. It's not the same thing.
We're less debating whether the mimic is actually dead and more whether there are more mimics.
I got confused about that. In that case, yes, I am totally firing a firebolt into one of the other alcoves.
Okay.
And I will be bardic inspiring her every round.
All right, well, give me...
Every round I can.
Yep.
Give me an attack roll.
Because I'm not getting pack tactics, that was a 7.
Well, I would argue 2 things. One, they are hanging out next to you. Gox, in particular, is standing directly behind you because that seems to be
right
the
behind you.
Place to
yeah,
be.
But it's only if within 5 of the target.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
You know what? See. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Okay,
but what,
I also am
again?
Giving you 1d6. I'm giving you 1d6. So
oh, okay, yeah, I will give. Okay, yeah. So, well, that was a 6, and I had a 7, so
okay, so
that's
you hear,
13.
You hear the sound of splintering wood.
Excellent! I go in.
Okay, you see what had been a crate, which is now a bunch of crate pieces that are doing their best to be torches. But usually torches are only burning from one end. And these are just all on fire.
I cast control flames and extinguish the fire.
Okay. So you now have some X-crate pieces that are,
no.
that are lightly charred. One would argue that there is a patina of charred bits on them. You might, if you were so chose, try to put everything back together like a 3D jigsaw puzzle. That might be a fun way to spend a short rest or two. And this crate apparently had a bunch of farming equipment in it.
So I'm going to run over and see what she blew up. Does it look like anything useful or that I'd be interested in? Is there any food? That's kind of the thing.
I would not recommend eating farming equipment.
No
pitchforks are not as tasty as one might think.
Okay, no food here.
I mean, there is a high iron content. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, you have that, but, yeah.
And some of the wooden parts of the tool, like the handles and stuff, they weren't in very incredibly good shape before they were flambéed. They might be slightly less in good shape now. It looks like some water did get into the crate. There's some rusted spots. You think that maybe some humans might be interested in these? You don't know how much they would pay for them, but it's something. You could probably take this much stuff back in 2 or 3 trips, but you're not that far away from the main kobold settlement, so it wouldn't be too hard to do that, especially if on the trip back you had others come to help you. You could get all done on the second trip.
Okay.
But it's something. So you're going to check another alcove?
How many are left?
Well, this was the third one.
Okay.
So there's 3 more.
There's 3
alcove
more.
Number 4.
Are you using the same tactic?
No. No, Zili is thinking that maybe we will not get money for things if those things are exploded, unfortunately.
What kind of farming tools?
Is
there a pitchfork?
There's a couple pitchforks. There's some shovels. There is a scythe or two.
Pitchfork.
Your push-talk button is stuck on.
No. I'm preparing to talk. A pitchfork works. Daldun will take a pitchfork and stab it into the other crates.
That is a plan. Okay.
I follow to see if the pitchfork gets stuck.
Okay. I'm going to say give me an attack roll.
I don't remember what my attack is.
Just roll a d20 then. You are not proficient in pitchfork.
13.
You successfully stab a crate.
Did it
when
stick?
Does it,
when
does
you
it
let go, it sticks. However, it probably However, sticks because probably the 4 tines of the pitchfork are currently embedded into the wood.
I will let Gox try to take it out.
Okay, so I grab the end of the pitchfork and I pull as hard as I can. And I probably got a roll. Oh, it sounds like it worked. Yeah? No?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right,
you're the only member of the party with strength bonus.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so what, we're going to the next one? Find a crate? Yes?
Yep.
Okay, I go into the next one, and I find the crate, and I stab it with the pitchfork.
Okay, I'm going to speed things up just a little bit.
Yes.
And say that none of the other crates animate and try to attack you. There are no further retaliatory actions from
excellent
from the crates.
Okay. These are crates, not monster crates.
You have defeated their leader, and now they are subservient to you.
Yes. Is there
That's how diplomacy works.
that's a very, it's very much on the nose. I'm a little concerned about how on the nose that is.
All right, everybody open crates, see if there's food.
Okay, well, there's four of you in three crates, so go ahead, pop them open.
All right, cool.
That will be a strength check for each of you.
Okay.
You all can open the crates, I will write a song about it.
Okay. All right, I'm doing a strength check. That's a 10. Okay, what's inside?
It's a negative 1.
You're fairly certain that this crate is a mimic, because you should be able to open that crate. This is not true, by the way. This is just what Jess thinks. So the crate that... I keep having to look at the list of character names.
That's all right. You'll get it.
Jen.
You'll get it.
Eventually.
Nope.
Or mm-hmm. I won't. The crate that Gox opens looks like it was full of clothing. So it's probably a pretty good thing that it was not flambéed.
Ah.
It doesn't look like water got into this one. And some of the clothing looks colorful. So it might be worth something. It doesn't look like it's got a lot of holes in it. It's nicer than what most kobolds wear.
Okay.
Not as nice as your hat. You're pretty sure the hat's better.
Yeah. Pink and purple with red flowers. Gox loves his hat. So there's more crates, right?
There's two more crates. One that Sox tried to open and got a negative 1 on.
Okay. I will go help my brother with the crate. And I have rolled a 10 again. Here you go. I can help.
Open.
What's inside?
You find spare wood and parts necessary for creating crates.
Huh.
You found a crate of crates.
Crate of crates.
Not as exciting.
No. All right. Is there one left?
There's one left.
Or is that all?
No, there's one left. Go ahead and roll.
There's one left. Okay. Let's try again. I have rolled a 16. I am improving in my skill of opening crates.
You now have proficiency crate opening.
Yes.
That's horrible. I think I that one. I was playing a game once where an ogre got proficiency in tree.
We're opening some crits. Roar. We're opening some crits. Roar.
Okay, so what's in this one? Or we did open
find a smaller box.
Huh. There's another box inside. I'm going to try to open that one too.
Okay.
I have a 13.
You go to lift the lid and the entire box comes up.
Huh? It's stuck to itself. I'm like shaking it.
You hear something rattling inside.
I shake it more. See if I can figure out what's in it.
It is probably the heaviest maraca you've ever played. But
is it a flute? A tiny, insignificant little flute?
It is not. And I will say, Daldane, while Gox is enjoying playing this maraca, you are disappointed to know that it's not keeping a rhythm, so you can't really accompany it very well.
Stop that. No, okay. There's something else inside.
The rest of you are able to notice there is a keyhole in the front of this box. It is locked. That's why the lid is not opening. It's not that it's stuck.
How we open this?
What is the locking? Maybe we can skill in
pick the lock?
It would be sleight of hand.
Dalton control.
Here you go.
17 plus 3 is 20.
Okay. So here's how we're going to flavor this. You go and try to pick the lock with a dagger, and you're trying to finesse it, and you're trying to be very careful, and then you realize the best solution would probably just be to hit it really hard. So you smack the dagger in, it breaks the locking mechanism, it pops open, and there is a significant number of silver pieces inside.
Woo! Money!
Oh, right.
Ha-ha! Another these victory!
Those are not fish.
Not fish. Not food.
You're pretty sure there's no way you can eat this.
Yeah, Gox is somewhat disappointed. Did not find food.
We'll take it back and offer it to the biglings.
Okay.
All right. So, you have successfully found money that will hopefully pay for enough food for the Kobold clan to last through the winter. And also defeated my mimic trap. Congratulations, you solved my mimic puzzle to quote the Adventure Zone. And we're going to wrap it up here next time we play, which should be next Monday, unless anyone has schedule conflicts. You will be starting that session with at level 3.
Oh.
All right.
So you get some additional toys. Thank
Celebrate
you,
everyone. Kobolds, come on.
And we've got 8 viewers right now on the channel, which is fantastic. We have more people viewing than we have playing, which I usually don't get. So if you liked this game, if you're watching in Twitch right now, I do DM another campaign, which is based in the same setting, but with different characters that Jen and Chris also play in. That'll be on Saturdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So you can come in for that. Go ahead and subscribe to the channel and you get the updates. And we're going to be playing this game around 5 or 6 on Mondays, at least until school starts. So thanks for watching. Everyone introduce themselves at the beginning. If you want to plug something at the end, that's great. I know Chris needs to get going.
All done, sir. Good night.
All right. Well, on that note, have fun. See you next time.